Tonight, comedian Vince Moranto is happy to ride sidecar as we chat with the people behind Apple Fest. Then later, Brandon C. Price swings by the Showcase studio. And finally, we find out why it's okay to use bad language around your kids. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Ah, it is. It's Tuesday. Is it Wednesday? What day is today, Vince? Is it Wednesday? I've lost a day.
No, it's Wednesday. Yeah.
I was on a farm.
Or I'm not supposed to. I shouldn't be here if it's not Wednesday.
Yeah, I've completely messed it. I don't even know what day of the week it is. September. It's Wednesday, September something. The 28th? Anybody have it? I don't know. All I know is I could not go to the Blackhawks game tonight, and I'm totally jealous of Craig and Esmeralda. I know that you are too, Vince.
Oh, yeah. What, are you kidding me?
They have to go sit in the suite.
Yeah, I was asking them where the suite was. And it was sweet.
It was a sweet, sweet?
Yeah, sweet, sweet.
You were at Zany's tonight, though.
Yes, I'm there all month, once again. Tonight and tomorrow, I'm with a very funny headliner, Joe Mackey. People might know him from Last Comic Standing. He'll be with us tomorrow. And then he goes to St. Charles on Friday, and then the Rosemont on Saturday.
Very cool.
Yeah, really funny guy.
And we had a wonderful audience last night.
Yeah, that was fun, huh?
It was a really good crowd. They were just ready for anything. They seemed to be, whatever style of comedy the three of us brought, they were like, okay, we're doing this now.
Yeah, it seems like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you don't really know what you're going to get. It's
sure.
Life is a box of chocolates in the comedy audience world there.
Yeah, we had a Tuesday night not too long ago where it was just a mess. Those two girls sitting in the front row. They were so angry about being thrown out that they tweeted at me after the show.
Oh, they did?
They did.
Well, that's a hate tweet.
Yeah, I know. It's wonderful that they can bother the ship and then bother the show and then bother me afterwards.
Yeah, that's
it works out really well.
It's a beauty of new social media. Hey, can I ask Esmeralda a question?
Do
you got your ears on there?
I do.
As they say in the world. I noticed on the way in it said this week there's full lane closures on the Jane Addams inbound and outbound. See any reports of that anywhere out there?
Well, there is a bunch of long-term road work all throughout the Jane Addams. So we're just seeing delays pretty much from right when you get on at 294, or from 294 to about Route 59.
Yeah, so that's where the mess has been. But it's been like that since, I don't know, about a year now.
And
I
it's going to be like that.
Yeah.
It's going to stay like that.
Although they're doing some, it's good to see that they're doing some progress. They actually have where you come in now, where it's 294, 90, 190, they actually have almost all those lanes open now. So it's pretty cool to see.
Well, the Cumberland Toll, by the way, can I just, I went through that yesterday, and I forget. And I'm sure that my Google's map or my Waze told me not to get off of 294 to go home, you know, and take that that toll plaza at Cumberland. What a disaster that is.
Oh, there's nightmares all over the place.
Are there 30 booths and then two lanes? What happens? I don't understand what's happening.
Well, here's what I don't understand, too, what they're going to do. They're making it four lanes, you know, out all the way out.
Right.
And it was a nightmare when it was three lanes coming down to get to the. And now there's going to be four lanes that have to come together.
You're right.
So yeah. I don't know. I mean, if you're going out, it's great.
But
coming
going,
back in,
I mean, it doesn't seem like they've done anything to improve. I mean, I don't know what's happening to the side. It's all torn up there. I just don't see the follow through on the rest of that plan unless you knock out like everything going forward into the inbound.
Did you ever drive and you look and you go, oh man, there's no, that's too high. No, that's too low. Like that the roads are never going to match up. I don't know how they do that, but they always match up perfectly. You're always like, oh, there's no way it's going to match up.
Yeah, well, anytime you see any, like an overpass or a bridge being built. Oh, by the way, on Milwaukee Avenue one day, there was, you know, the overpasses are often, they have the height marked 14,
right,
2 inches and the semis once in a while will get stuck in those.
Yep, I've been.
There was apparently a semi realizes he approached it wasn't going to happen, so he goes and makes a U-turn.
Oh yeah, that won't jackknife at all.
He had to make like a 38-point turn on Milwaukee Avenue.
The underpass when you get off at North Avenue, like going to Zany's, when you get off at North Avenue off of 90.
Right.
One time there was this big backup, and I couldn't figure out what it was until I got up there, and it was a truck. Had just must have been doing like 40 miles an hour, went underneath it, and it was way too tall, and it just peeled like a,
yeah,
you know, like foil, yeah, like a can or something.
Exactly.
It just peeled the top of it off.
Well, some of our truckers have called and said that what happens is the pavement, they don't.
Yeah, because every year after year, they keep adding another layer.
Right.
And that's, you know, even if it's like a half an inch at a time,
they don't change the signage.
No, because that would be there.
So, you know, like take your chances going in through an underpass. And we need trucks to move our goods. Yes, so it's like, come on, let's work together.
You know
what
they do when they get stuck, though? You know how they get them out of there?
Let the air out of the tires.
Yeah, let the air out of the tires. I wonder how long it took them to figure that out.
I know, but you still got to drag that thing out from underneath there. Yeah, it was a smooth drive, though, tonight on the Kennedy coming in, so I was very excited. Good for you. Was it not a good drive for you inbound?
You know, it doesn't make any sense, because when I'm downtown, I'm out in Arlington Heights right now, and when I'm downtown, I'm there for a month, and it's six nights a week. And it could be... It could take me an hour and 15 minutes on a sunny Tuesday, and it could take me 40 minutes on a snowy Friday. I mean, there's no rhyme or reason to any of it.
That's how I feel when I drive to St. Charles. No matter when I leave, it's mind-boggling. There's no way of cracking that system from the northwest side of Chicago to St. Charles. Here we have a traffic instruction comment from Avars. Hey, am I saying your name correctly?
Yeah, you sure did, Patty.
Hi. What did you want to tell us?
Well, you know, I was listening to you on the radio, and I was agreeing with you, but, you know, and I looked into this a little bit further, and I was wondering what the logic was, too. And there's a bigger scheme of things going on here. When they finally finish that ring road around O'Hare and the Elgin O'Hare connects and stuff like that, it's going to take a lot of pressure off of 90 coming into the city because people are trying to get to 294, and they're going to be able to jump off of there and cross over on that ring road. And that's going to make a big difference on that bottleneck that you're talking about.
Is that what they're calling it? Is the ring road?
Well, yeah, there's a ring road around O'Hare that's supposed to actually go into O'Hare if they ever do that.
Right.
But that ring road is actually going to allow you to take 90 and take that ring road over to 294 as opposed to going past O'Hare and getting onto 294. That's going to take all that traffic that's in that little stretch of road there. And it's going to remove it because they're going to swing off on that ring road and go to 294 well before they have to hit O'Hare.
Okay.
I didn't know about that until I started looking into it, and it's kind of a well-kept secret, but it'll be about another 2-3 years before it all materializes.
Wow.
Yeah, right.
Could I suggest that they call it the Molly Ring Road? I think there would be a good name for it. I could say it back up to the Molly Ring Road.
Molly Ring Road. I like that. It makes sense.
But, you know, yeah, but, I mean, I live out in the suburbs out here in Elk Grove, and I could see a lot of what's going on, and I'm scratching my head, and, you know, I started looking into this, and it's not that easy to find what's going on, but, you know, in the overall, you know, the overall project's going to actually make a lot of sense.
Let me ask you this. How far back do you remember the Cumberland toll booth area getting so congested? I mean, really, to a maximum point where no one goes anywhere.
No, I know.
I can't remember when it started. There's that,
but then there's the other part that comes out going west, and that actually, you know, if you get on, I think it's Bryn Mawr or something like that, and you start to go west, it gets to really be choked off, and none of this that they're doing is going to solve any of that.
Right.
You know.
I don't know if you've ever gone westbound
on a Jane Addams and found that to be the case, but that's always the case there, you know.
Yeah, I got a little trick that I did, that I do now. When it's, because the other day they had a sign that said, three left lanes closed. Well, hello, there's only three lanes. So I got off at like Sayre or Canfield or something. Mm-hmm. And I watched, got off of Bryn Mawr, and I was watching over my left shoulder. I saw it go from three lanes to two lanes, just to one lane, and then open up. And as soon as it opened up, I think it might have been on Harlem or whatever, then boom, I got back on. And I so that's a little trick for people to do. You'll bypass the
What are you doing? That's my frontage road right there.
it's great, though, isn't it?
It's very good.
Except for the time I got off, and I thought I was getting off where it was a one-way, and it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I turned left, and I realized... It was like that scene in Plane, Trains, and Automobiles. Hey, you're going the wrong way. I was literally...
How do they know which way I'm going?
Exactly, right? Exactly.
I'm going.
Exactly. I got off, and I realized, like, oh, my God, I'm going the wrong way. So I got...
But well, don't tell people my secrets. Yes, Avers?
Well, for all these years, you know, you get on at Elmhurst, and then the first time that you can get off would either be by O'Hare or 294. And I always said that if you put something in between there and charge people $5 to get off, I'd gladly pay it.
Yeah, no kidding.
I think a lot of us would. Speaking of the Elgin O'Hare Expressway, which if it ever does go to Elgin or O'Hare, that'll be a miracle in my lifetime.
Yep.
But what they did was when you get off of 53 and take the Elgin O'Hare towards Lake Street 20. That's where it ends. Mm-hmm. It goes from 53 to 20. They've put three toll booths in there now. It's now a 65, a 35, and a 25, I want to say. It's like $1.25, and it's about a 10.5-mile stretch.
Really?
So if you go that way and back, it's $2.50 to go 10 miles one way and 10 miles back.
Oh, it's crazy.
I know, isn't it? I know.
Getting every which way they can. Well, thank you so much for calling, Avars, and sharing your thoughts on the ring road around O'Hare.
The Molly ring road.
The Molly ring road. Have a great night.
Yeah.
Have a great night, Avars. Talk to you soon. Look forward to it. We'll find out when we come back why the Apple Fest in Lincoln Square, Ravenswood area, is doubling in size. It's a great two-day fest, and we have some great guests with some treats coming up on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I'm joined by comedian Vince Maranto, who is at Zany's through the rest of this month. Are you done now on Sunday? Hold on, I should turn the
maybe. Check. This is my last week at downtown, but then I'm going to be in out in St. Charles for the entire month of October.
Oh, well, then it'll be harder for you to come visit me when you're doing St. Charles. Yeah. You're welcome to call in. Let us know how it's going in St. Charles.
Of course, that'd I can always do that.
And we are welcoming into the studio the fine folks who are participating in this year's Apple Fest. It's the 29th annual Apple Fest. They're turning the Lincoln Square neighborhood into an urban apple orchard. And joining us from right beside her are Katie and Charlie. Hello, hello. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Let me see if I can find your microphone. There it is. Hi, Katie.
Hi.
Hello. And we also have Lance, who is with Big Fork, and your microphone is over there somewhere. Hi.
It's here,
How long were you in I feel so badly. I hope you weren't in the lobby too long, all
no,
of you.
No, not at all.
It wasn't too long? All right, thank you. I got in a little bit late tonight. I was on the farm yesterday, so I'm still catching up. It was a cornfield. Well, first of all, tell us a little bit about Right Beside Her, Katie.
Okay, so my husband Charlie and I own and operate Right Bee Cider. We're a local cidery in Chicago. We've been doing this for 2 years, and our business is called Right Bee Cider because it sounds like right beside her, since it was originally made as a gift.
What?
From Charlie to me.
Wait, Charlie, tell us about making Right Beside Her.
Well, my background is in beer brewing, and so when I met Katie, she didn't drink beer, not because she doesn't like beer, but because she preferred cider.
Okay.
And so I made her a cider for her birthday, and she liked it. And then we started dating, and then we got engaged, and now we're married.
And congratulations. Now we have this business.
Because of cider.
Yes.
I love the sort of path that you took in order to win her heart over. How good was that first cider he made for you?
It was perfect. When he brought it out, it was a surprise. I was a little worried that I was going to have to act like I liked it, but... It was.
Oh, did you know that part of it? Like she was practicing her face, like in her head. She's like, what do I go with? Like a big open smile.
But
or
now I know she wears her emotions on her face very, very.
I show everything on her face.
So I know I did a good job because it was, obvious from the get go.
We'll have to try some of the cider. I know that we've got cups for that, and Vince and Craig will have to let me know how it is. I'm on some medicine tonight. I have migraines sometimes, so that's one of the. And I'm a little bit jealous that I can't have any of the cider tonight.
Sometime soon.
I love cider. I'll keep one of the bottles.
We'll drink extra for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I like that. And Rudy, who is the executive director of the Chamber of Commerce for the Lincoln Square Ravenswood area. I it's funny because I lived in the Lincoln Square area, and I say Squarea just to shorten it.
I love it.
And you can have it. Have you ever heard anybody say that before?
One person.
Really?
So yeah, you guys might know each other.
I'd love to find out because I right now I'm drooling a little bit, and that's because there are some really delectable plates of food next to me. When Lisa from Ripson Communications, she handed me this plate with she saw me start drooling right away, and she was like, "It's from Lance and Big Fork." Tell us a little bit about what's on this plate.
We have our hickory and applewood bacon sausage, and then I take an apple slaw, and that's with some Honeycrisp apples and a little poppy seed dressing. And then
Esmeralda, you know you want some of this.
And then I take barbecue sauce, but I take half the barbecue sauce and I mix it with applesauce. Mm-hmm. So you have three layers of apples on top of an amazing sausage.
I can't wait to throw it in news so I can have some of this. It's a little unprofessional for me.
Yeah, well, I'm not waiting for you, so sorry.
Yeah, dig in, guys.
That looks fantastic. Rudy, how did this Apple Fest start in the Lincoln Square area?
Well, it's the 29th year. Mm-hmm. So this started off as just a little tiny sidewalk event that I think it was Cafe Sal Marie that's still in Lincoln Square.
I just ate there the other day.
They celebrated their 33rd birthday this past week. And they
Such
started
a great
this.
Place.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, right in the plaza. I mean, it's just so quaint and feels very European like. And
Such
they started this with their apple pies at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of blossomed from the smaller event before Lincoln Square has boomed as it has in the last few years and turned into a sidewalk event to the whole block, closing down the street. Now we're going to 2 days this year.
Oh, that's really wonderful. I bet you the people from Cafe Sal Marie are saying, going, we did this. Yep. It's because of us that you're all here.
We're very happy that they did it.
We are going to find out more about our guests and the other participants of the Apple Fest. And this is in Lincoln Square, Lincoln Avenue between Lawrence and Eastwood. That's going to be Saturday and Sunday. That's this October 1st and 2nd. I can't believe it's already October, Vince. Can you believe? You go ahead, keep eating. From 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. with an array of apple-inspired dishes like apple pie, cider, donuts, empanadas, pork belly, and of course some of the other delightful treats from Big Fork. We'll find out more about that when we come. Do I have a break before the news? More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening pretty late. It's this been a rainy day here in Chicago, but we are cheering up in the Allstate Showcase studio with some delicious treats brought to us by our friends from Apple Fest. Joining me in studio as well is Vince Maranto. He is performing at Zany's on Wells all week. And so you got through Sunday to see him this week for one more week.
I actually just stopped chewing just in time.
To say, go to Zany's.com.
Right.
Get ticket information. And you really like the headliner you're working with.
Yeah, a real funny guy, Joe Mackey from Last Comic Standing a couple years back.
You have to tell them to go to Lincoln Square and the Ravenswood area.
I'm going to tell everybody tomorrow, trust me.
So good. They have got this great event. It's the 29th annual Apple Fest in the Lincoln Square neighborhood, and they're going to make it an apple orchard. You've got all kinds of food vendors, including Art Tango. You've got Bose Concessions, the Chopping Block, Dinky Donuts, and the Gale's Best Ever Grilled Cheese, Luella's Southern Kitchen, the Northman, Taco in a Bag. And in studio, we have with us Lance from Big Fork Brands. He's got some hickory and applewood bacon sausage on a stick. Hello. That sounds good, too.
Oh, yeah.
And these sandwiches, these are really good sausages. It's very spicy. I have to take my time with that. But Vince was asking you a little bit about that raw apple slaw.
Yeah, so, you just take, just chopped up cabbage and carrots, and then I just basically take half of that and blend up diced up apples, and then just take a poppy seed dressing, just a little bit sweeter. It really goes well with the smokiness of the bacon sausage.
And where are you from originally, Lance?
I grew up in Colorado. I was born in Iowa, so I do have some roots in Iowa where all the hogs are raised.
All the hogs? They're not raised anywhere else?
I've heard
they're in other places.
Yeah, well, we work with 23 different family farmers in Iowa that raise Berkshire hogs outdoors.
So you're particular to the Iowa hogs?
I'm just being they're all corn fed, and I'm a corn fed myself.
Sure.
I know them very, very well.
And what brought you to Chicago?
Work.
Okay.
Yeah.
And now you've got this. Where is Big Fork located?
We're in Lincoln Square. So actually, we're on Ravenswood and Berteau.
Okay.
That's where our offices are.
So that's where your offices are?
Yeah.
Is it also a shop? Can people come in?
Not really. Mm-hmm. I mean, unless you want to buy, hundreds of pounds.
So you supply sausages to all the...
To restaurants and to retailers throughout the nation.
So this is kind of a fun opportunity, yes.
But the public can't get you, like there's nothing online. See, I want to order about 100 pounds of this right now.
Well, you can go to all the Whole Foods throughout the Midwest. They all have...
Oh, they carry them?
Yep. They actually, as of today, all the Whole Foods...
Go ahead, look at that. That worked out great.
Look for your Big Fork Brands and Whole Foods.
Yeah.
I love that.
Cool.
Yeah, Rudy, how do you decide? I mean, do you send invitations to everyone in the Lincoln Square area to participate in Apple Fest?
Yeah, we do. We're a Chamber of Commerce, so we're member-driven. Mm-hmm. So we always give, pretty much first right of refusal to our members and to the local businesses right there where the festival's at. So we're excited that we have almost about 40 different local businesses. They're all from Lincoln Square and Ravenswood, the immediate area. And it's really great because like Lance. Lance is going to most likely be out there, I'm assuming, at his tent. And
of course,
you get to meet the owners.
Right.
Like, they're right there talking with you, just like, you know, right beside her. You guys are, I'm sure, going to be out there too, pouring.
We will, both yeah. days.
I met Katie at City Made in Andersonville, that festival, 2 weekends ago.
And I missed that
I was
one.
Like, this is great. And she's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to be at your event. And I was like, oh, this is awesome. So it's really great that you get to learn the story and then meet the people and the, you know, who are the face of the business.
Absolutely. And as we've learned before the news, Katie and Charlie of Right Beside Her, it really is. That's a very sweet and charming name. That,
thank you.
That Charlie wanted to make a cider for Katie. And this is how this business grew.
And it's B-E-E with the mm-hmm. with the B, B-E-E
yeah, because
cider.
We use some right. locally sourced honey in our cider.
Yep. From the West Side B-Boys.
So see, there's many levels to that, Betty.
Yes.
So many levels.
West Side B-Boys.
Yeah.
With a Z.
They're amazing.
With a Z.
Oh, yeah. And they have a Z. So yeah. It's the West Side B. Do they sell to the public or is it only to...
Yeah, they have a retail location. I believe it's on Roosevelt.
So they
on
have
the west side.
Do yeah. they have beehives in the city? Or?
They do. They have hives in at the Lincoln Park Zoo, at O'Hare, on top of buildings. They're a wonderful organization. They have delicious honey, so we're happy to use it.
Because it's supposed to be great for you to have locally grown honey, because then you have sort of anything that's in your, you know, in your area. You're sort of, it's better for you in many health ways. And I think of no better way to have it than in cider.
Yes.
I love that.
Yeah.
In your alcohol is the idea.
I don't know if we can
it.
Make any health claims.
No, I would, and I'm not pushing you to. But I think it's nice to know that it's local.
It's yeah. gluten-free. There you go.
It is gluten-free.
There you go.
Yes.
That's all you need to know. There's your positive.
Gluten-free.
And it's very low sugar content. So there's only 3 to 4 grams of sugar in an entire pint.
Oh, that's great.
So.
And you also have some fans listening on the air. I know your Aunt Susan in
Hi,
Seattle
Susan.
Is listening. You call her Susan and not Aunt Susan?
I call her, well, both,
maybe
I
that,
guess.
That kind
Susan,
of, did
yeah.
that close? Just
yeah.
dropped aunt after a while?
Well, yeah.
Did she not like it? She's like, I'm not old enough to sound like an aunt.
No, she's the cool aunt, for
okay.
sure. She's
nobody knows
been
how
my
old she
second
is.
Mom my whole life.
No
so.
One knows? No.
Hi, Susan.
That's how I plan on going through life, is no one ever knows how old I am. Right, Vince?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you? Oh, yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. You know how old I am. Wait a minute.
No, but anytime I go to say anything towards age, I get a yeah from you.
We started working together 22 years ago, but I was only 13 at the time.
Was it really 22? No. It wasn't 22 years ago, was it? It was. I've known you for 22 years. Yeah. It took me 22 years to get food like this from you.
Yeah, we've known each other for that. I know it's
no, that's
to
cool.
Yeah, there you go. I just shouldn't have said that. I don't know why I'm using numbers.
It's the cider talking. You're not even drinking it.
I didn't have any because I am on medication and you don't want to mix. People always think, oh, you know, it's not that. No, it is. It's important to make sure you take care of yourself. And Charlie, you also have your mom, Pam, is listening?
Yeah, yeah. We
hi,
don't.
Mom.
Hi, Mom. Hi, Mom. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We don't have what?
I was going to say we don't want my mom to get jealous, obviously, of Aunt Susan. So
No. Yeah. I want to make sure.
Hi, Mom and Dad, if you're listening. Too. I love my parents, too.
Lance, you want to make sure you say hi to anybody?
Hey, honey. That's my wife. Hi, Annie.
Are they
go to bed soon?
Well, she can stay up and listen to the rest of the show. We've got all kinds of things
then
to talk about. Yeah. Does your mom listen to WGN Radio regularly? She does now. Just say yes.
Yes, absolutely.
It's her favorite.
100%.
Well, there you go. We are very excited to have our guests in studio who are participating in this great Apple Fest in the Lincoln Square area, Lincoln Square Ravenswood Apple Fest. And not just all the food and drink and meeting all the great owners of businesses in the area. You also have some music and kids activities going on, Rudy?
We do, yeah. So it's a family-friendly event. We do kids activities throughout the day, from juggling to wiggle worms to story times to puppet shows, and there's a little bit of everything. New this year, though, is a chef demonstration area. So Giddings Plaza, throughout all day Saturday, you can learn how to make different dishes from our local restaurants like Bistro Campan, Dewey Lire, Cafe Sal Marie, The Chopping Block. They're all going to be out there. They're chefs teaching us how to use the apples. And we have farmers at this event, McClug Farms from Michigan and Phil Foster from Indiana. So you can buy a bushel of apples, go and learn how to use them in your dishes, and then go home and cook them that night.
Very nice. And so you get the honey locally for Right Beside Her.
Yes.
And how about the apples?
We get our apples from the East Coast, primarily Pennsylvania, some from upstate New York, depending on the season.
And I want to, when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about what brought you guys into the Lincoln Square area.
Sure.
To, you know, open up shop, because it's a really fun place. And this event is also going to, all the money, the proceeds are being used for, well, at least a lot of the money is going to support beautification projects in Lincoln Square and Ravenswood, as well as contribute to financially some, you know, community non-for-profit groups.
Yes.
That's what I love about Lincoln Square, Mayfair is it is this weird sort of like small town in the city.
Mayberry in the city.
It is a little bit of Mayberry in the city. It's true, Vince. You have to go check it out. More with our guest when we come back on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. I felt like playing something rainy. That's why I did that.
Okay. Well, nothing could bring me down after what I've been eating, so don't worry about it.
We've been eating some great food from Big Four.
Have we mentioned the pie, by the
Big
way?
Four brands, and from the Chopping Block, we've had some really great pie, and they will have their apple pie with whipped cream and pulled pork with apple slaw at the Apple Fest. See, I got all that, Rudy. We're on top of these things, because Lisa Ripson gives me all the information that I need.
She is awesome, too.
Anything you want me to say? Vince is at Zany's this whole week. He is one of our favorite hosts. For every show, he's a host, he's a headliner. And the hardest part of doing stand-up comedy is hosting. People often think that the first person is...
They always say, boy, you surprise us. We always thought the first guy sucked. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, thank you very much. I'm glad he went in there with a good attitude.
Well, that's the thing. Is
like people go in the restaurant and throw the appetizers away because it's the first thing, so it must suck.
It must not be any good. Zany's flips that around. They always put a headliner in to host the show.
Yeah, well, that's why they use house MCs. Yeah. So it's a good show start to finish.
Always a good show. You're, of course. And go to zanys.com for all the ticket information. Vince has shows Thursday through Sunday. There are two shows Friday, three shows Saturday.
My favorite.
One of the last clubs in the country to do three shows. So you guys have to come see us at Zany's sometimes. We'd love to have you guys. Who I'm talking to is Katie and Charlie from their, right beside her. It's their fantastic cider that has locally grown honey as one of the ingredients, and someone texted and wanted, or called and wanted to know about them. It's Westside Bee Boys, and that's B-E-E Boys, B-O-Y-Z. You can go to their website, westsidebeeboys.com, and they are Chicago's urban beekeepers. They were founded in 2014. I love being able to Google. It's my favorite part of the show. How did you discover the Bee Boys?
We actually met them at the Good Food Fest. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of people wearing bee clothes, and we saw some pink lady style bee jackets, and I just saw them and I was like, I have to be friends with that guy. So I went over and talked to him, and we formed a partnership, and we've been getting our the honey for our cider from them ever since.
Well, they seem to have a great story. We may have to get them in studio sometime too, because we love meeting new people. We also have Lance from Big Fork Brands. And what led you to open up an office in the Lincoln Square area?
Well, we live on Wilson Avenue, so just in the area. Mm-hmm. So it was...
So you wanted somewhere you could walk.
Exactly. I've had some brutal commutes in Chicago. Sure. And if I was going to actually have a place where I can actually have an office, it's going to definitely be within walking distance.
So you live over by the Daily?
Yeah, just over.
I lived on Wilson in between Lincoln and Western.
Okay. Yeah, we're Wilson and Rockwell.
Okay, it is a really wonderful area. There's some apartment buildings around there that are just fascinating to me.
Yeah, the people are great.
It's a wonderful place. So you wanted to open up someplace close, but how has opening there? How long have you been open? First of all,
5 years.
And what has changed on that block, on that strip of Lincoln Square? Because it really has grown so much.
Yeah, and the Davis is, there's a huge improvement with the Davis.
Yes, that's exciting.
Old Town, that was a huge change. Mm-hmm. We saw that go up.
The new one, right? They have the one across the street as well.
Yeah, and it's just each year it's a wonderful neighborhood, and each year it just improves.
Yeah,
all the businesses that keep coming in, it's great.
It's a great place to make friends. Do you live in the area as well? Is that why you opened in Lincoln Square?
We're actually in Hermosa Park. Mm-hmm. So we're on Costner between Armitage and North Avenue.
Okay.
But we spend a lot of time in Lincoln Square. We're on tap at the Bad Apple and
Northman.
Oh,
so you're kind of incorporated into all the local businesses there.
Yes.
So what a great way to also be part of the festivities this weekend.
Yeah, we
I've never heard of Hermosa Park. I don't know why.
Oh, good.
You too?
Neither have I. I thought I was an idiot.
It's okay.
It sounds like a Cali.
It's okay. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Well, Hermosa Park is a beautiful neighborhood on the west side of Chicago. The rough intersections of our manufacturing facility is Cicero and Armitage.
Mm-hmm.
We have about 6,000 square feet, and we are currently manufacturing cider there. So we're like the first cider house in the city of Chicago. And we're, going through a huge expansion right now, and we'll have 12-ounce bottles, six packs out soon. And we're working on different packages and different...
And distributing. Are you in stores?
Not quite yet. So we're draft only. in over 40 bars and restaurants in the city so far.
Okay.
So for a small two-person husband and wife duo, it's pretty good.
That's very good. Yeah. So when you're out and about and you want to know what's on tap, find out if they have Right Beside Her. We're going to wrap up with our friends when we come back in just a moment. I want to ask Rudy about anything you should know coming up as well in the Lincoln Square Ravenswood area. Just a moment on Pretty Late Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. I want to thank our guests. We have Katie and Charlie from Right Beside Her, and they'll be joining Lance from Big Fork Brands and many other restaurants and shops in Lincoln Square and Ravenswood to celebrate Apple Fest. Apple, I don't know what word that was. Apple Fest is coming up on Saturday and Sunday. You can go to, what was that? Spatial. I don't even know what happened. Like part church lady, part
NPR. Well, it's Apple Fest time of year again, isn't it?
It is. I don't even know what that was. It's another accent. You can go to lincolnsquare.org/applefest for more information. And what do you want people to know about some of the all the events that you guys do in the Lincoln Square Ravenswood area?
Yeah, so after this weekend, we have our first ever restaurant week, which is coming up on October 16th through 21st, over 23 local restaurants in Ravenswood and Lincoln Square. It's a restaurant week for everyone's budget.
That's
and so really we're excited about that. And then we have our wine stroll on November 3rd, the first Thursday of November.
Well, wonderful. And before Vince, you're done. The roads are open for you, right?
Yeah, so. I'm so inspired. I'm going to start a boy band called the Northside B-Boys. So I'm going to be doing that as soon as I get off.
Well, you can watch Vince develop that as he performs at Zany's all week.
A 59-year-old boy band.
I like it. I can't believe you're 59.
Yeah, neither can I.
I'm not that. I can't believe I said how long we've been working together, but you didn't realize it's been that long.
I know.
It has been that long. Vince is at Zany's through Sunday, two shows Friday, three shows Saturday, but Thursday and Sunday, one show each. So you got to go catch them. Go to zanies.com for ticket information. And again, go stop and see all of our friends at Apple Fest in Lincoln Square. It's their 29th annual Apple Fest. It's even bigger this year. There's demonstrations, there's kids festivities and music and lots of great food and drinks. So I will see you I'll see you out there on Saturday or Sunday.
We look forward to it. Thank you.
Listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. And, I don't know if we should play the other music, Craig, because these young ladies have not even been paid for their performance. I think it's a tribute to them. Maybe that's the way we make it up to them.
Public access now.
It is a little bit.
Royalty free nonsense.
I don't, it's gotten so absurd. You know, he's in town. I don't. Is he still in town now, or he was in town all day? He Donald Trump was speaking at a center for, I think it was Saugonash area, a Polish Heritage Center, and then also was in Bolingbrook raising money for his campaign. There's a local, one of our friends of the show, Representative Cabello, was with him and with Ivanka Trump.
Doesn't matter.
It's all that. There was graffiti outside of the Polish Center, which you can not like somebody, you can protest, but don't vandalize a building.
Oh, specifically anti-Trump?
Yeah.
Like in, they knew he was coming?
F Trump, yeah. So I don't think that's not necessary.
Yeah, well now there's victims, innocent victims, like the people who have to clean that building.
Exactly. That's not okay. Did you watch the debate?
I did. I did. I almost turned it off a couple times just because it was so disheartening in general all over the place. But I made it through. As a citizen, I felt it was my duty.
Yeah. What did you come away thinking?
I come away thinking that if everyone in this country is sitting here going, gosh, it's the lesser of two evils, like, gosh, I don't like him, but I don't like her, but I really can't vote for this one and the other. Like, none of us are going to, like, that doesn't raise a question of, like, is this system, like, accurate and work? Because we all don't want these people here, and yet these people are here. Was it our choice, really? I mean, it just raises my eyebrow a little bit as to, like, how, the DNC and that stuff came out. But, like, surely even on a more evil and deep level, something's not working the way that it should if nobody wanted the two people that are there.
Well, but it does come down to, she got to a point. Her level of success politically hasn't just happened overnight, whereas his kind of actually has.
Well, no, I don't disagree at all. I mean, obviously, 30, 40 years she's been rolling at it. It's just anyone I talk to, no one goes, yes, adamantly, this is the one person I wanted all along. Or if I do hear that, it's the vast minority of the times I hear it. Most of the times I hear, well, I don't like this person, but I can't vote for the other one. So it's just interesting to me, like, no one is, like, super rah-rah for these people. Like,
oh, my mom
for Obama or McCain, like last time.
That's
like,
true. You know, that was, and that was part of why I was concerned about her candidacy before, was that it's going to be people who want to vote against her more than people want to vote for her.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've got someone who, on the other side, people want to vote against him, you know, for her against mm-hmm. it. It's very confusing. Let's listen to some of the things that he had to say on Monday night.
So in order to introduce this audio, you guys can pick from number 1 and 22, and you're going to get a surprise clip. It's either Hillary or Donald Trump.
Oh, I see. Okay, yeah. So 10.
Okay, yeah, number right. 10, 1 second, and here we go.
I'm very under-leveraged. I have a great company. I have a tremendous income. And the reason I say that is not in a braggadocious way. It's because it's about time that this country had somebody running it that has an idea about money.
That was one of my favorite things, and he said he was under-leveraged. And I was like, I don't understand what you're talking about. It's not, and when you have to say that's not being braggadocious, you're actually being braggadocious.
Yeah, perhaps.
It's kind of like saying, in my humble opinion,
yeah.
It's never humble.
Or like, I don't mean, like, no offense to you, but...
But I'm going to offend you.
I'm going to offend you.
Offend the pants off of you. That was... Yes, I have a tremendous income. Did he say that?
It's just... I mean, you know, man, I mean, he's got a point, doesn't
Someone
he?
Who should know something about money? No. Okay, let's see. Let's see, because it all unfolds. Let's see what else we have. A number. You pick a number, Brandon.
I want 5. Freddie Freeman.
And we need to have smart, fair trade deals. We also, though, need to have a tax system that rewards work and not just financial transactions. And the kind of plan that Donald has put forth would be trickle-down economics all over again. In fact, it would be the most extreme version, the biggest tax cuts for the top percent of the people in this country than we've ever had. I call it trumped up trickle-down, because that's exactly what it would be.
You don't
so
call
annoying.
It that. Your writers call it that.
Well,
there's
and,
a deputy writer yes. that's like, yes, she said it!
She said well, the thing, and if you watched it, too, like, she kind of, like, paused, and you hear her, like, she hits it. She's like, she really comes right up to it, and you know that she practiced it as a tongue twister, right? Trumped up, trickle-down, trumped up, trickle-down, trumped up, trickle-down. I can just see her rocking back and forth going, trumped up, trickle-down, trumped up, trickle-down. Don't do it. And then she brought it back. She did it.
Oh, she recalled that?
Yeah, she. What were you going to say about it?
No, I just, I have to imagine, like, on the limo over, she was like, I'm not going to say this. I don't want to say this. Like, well, no, it's in the script already. Let's just go with it.
Oh, it was so annoying. It bothered. I don't know why it bothered me. Rumped up. Oh, well. What do you got, Craig? Number 9.
I also have a much better temperament than she has. You know? I have a much better. She spent, let me tell you, she spent hundreds of millions of dollars on an advertising, you know, they get Madison Avenue into a room, they put names, oh, temperament, let's go after. I think my strongest asset, maybe by far, is my temperament. I have a winning temperament. I know how to win. She does not have
Secretary
how to win.
Clinton.
Wait, the AFL-CIO the other day, behind the blue screen, I don't know who you were talking to, Secretary Clinton.
Oh, man.
But you were totally out of control.
You was totally
I said,
out of control?
There's a person with a temperament that's got a problem.
Secretary Clinton.
Woo! Okay.
Yeah, I don't get that. What?
He is so ridiculous, and she is so smug. It is just so hard to watch. It's so hard to watch.
Well, I don't know how you can't be smug with someone who's crazy. It's hard to stand there. And by the way, what was going on with Lester Holt?
He did not perform at his best.
There was one point where he did when he said okay, I don't know. Well, maybe we'll get to the clip because I don't want to walk all over it in case. Let's see. Let's go to number 13.
Will you accept?
Look, here's the story. I want to make America great again. I'm going to be able to do it. I don't believe Hillary will. The answer is if she wins, I will absolutely support her.
That was a weird moment. That was a. That's. I mean, that's.
If you have to support the president, don't you?
No,
like, if
a lot
she wins,
of people
who
don't.
Else is gonna not? You know, like, what are you gonna do?
So, I mean, you know, Barack Obama was president has been president for 7 years, and Donald Trump spent all that time asking for his birth certificate. So he doesn't support the president.
Didn't at one point kind of say like he, that was a favor to that helped Obama?
Did he say that?
I'm pretty sure at some point during the night he called because Lester kept asking him about it. And that's the other thing with Holt. I think a couple of times he asked Donald about his transgressions a lot more than Hillary's just because his gets the news so much more.
Right.
But I wondered, like, again, not taking sides at all, but, like, just in the effort of actual fairness in this electoral system, like, well, let's ask her about some crappy things that she's done, too. It seems a little unbalanced.
What would you have asked her?
oh, I don't know, or ask him less. Do the even amount of crappy questions. You know what I mean? Like, he brought the emails up, but Lester didn't go after emails. He didn't go after Benghazi. He didn't go after the foundation. Like, all the things that, you know, like, they both have those things on either side, and right. Some can say they're more ridiculous than others either way.
Well,
but
I mean,
just,
if you can
talk like
about
that a little bit more.
If, here, Craig, you were going to say something, too.
Oh, I was going to pick a number. You guys were talking about birth certificates. I wanted to pick number six and then play this.
Nobody was caring much about it. I figured you'd ask the question tonight, of course, but nobody was caring much about it. But I was the one that got him to produce the birth certificate. I think I did a good job. Just tell you, when you talk about healing, I think that I've developed very, very good relationships over the last little while with the African-American community. I think you can see that. And I feel that they really wanted me to come to that conclusion, and I think I did a great job and a great service, not only for the country, but even for the president, in getting him to produce his birth certificate.
Secretary Clinton.
I don't, you know. Like, how did he, wait, he did a great service to African Americans
by getting
him.
Me and all my
black
friends did a really good job.
Well, I don't know. There are so many moments where I try to follow the train of logic that I can't even, and we're playing some of the clips, but there are moments that you can pull apart. By the way, you were saying that they should have asked her more probing questions about things that have been scandalous.
Well, no, I personally think they should have asked both of them less. It did feel a little bit to me when I'm stepping back and I'm trying to be objective,
right?
Which is hard
because
for anyone
because all the things that are scandalous for her have been investigated, right? Those have
right.
all, and he has not turned over anything to be like. I mean, they could have also talked about all like the rape charges on Donald Trump and all the bankruptcies. Like, he actually, there's so much more there,
certainly,
and the IRS returns.
I mean, like, and they did. I just feel like if you're going to ask questions that aren't policy based, that aren't what are you going to do, but what is the thing you messed up? What is that hot button issue that's on the cover of every crappy little magazine? Mm-hmm. Then you're going to go three to him, go three to her, or go two and two. Like, make it even and fair, or just actually stick to the policies and politics. Like, I get that it paints a character picture, but you should have to as the moderator. You should
qualified.
Technically be objective and moderate.
He's a registered Republican.
You know, not trying to be biased. I think that maybe Trump just has more things you can ask him. I don't know if Hillary has as many controversial things as Trump has. There's a lot of different things you can ask Trump, from things that he said during the campaign that seem like maybe she doesn't have as many there.
I get what you're saying. And maybe I'm just reaching for straws on how to defend the other side of this thing, but I felt like it seemed a little bit like, oh man, they sure are railing on this guy. And like, I didn't hear one time about how they talked about each other's plans. Well, Donald's plan is to do this, and it's trickle down. Well, Hillary's plan does this. I never heard any plans. I just heard their opinions on the other person's
plans.
Oh,
that's a good point.
So stop asking me about like why, you know, like, well, wait, weren't you racist in 1963? Like, ask me about what you're going to do.
Donald Trump did say that he was going to cut taxes on corporations. And
right, which
cut...
is a great, I mean, like, I'm like, well, okay, so where's the line? Well, what's a corporation? How much money, like, what tax bracket are you talking to me about? People
that
make
was
over 250K, you know what I mean? Like,
but that was for him to answer.
But I don't think either candidate, and probably mostly because they weren't asked specifically, got into that kind of stuff. And like, this is just a mudslinging match, and a lot of them, not just these two, a lot of them get into that, but I just don't ask about emails, don't ask about tax returns, ask about what you're going to do. And okay, when you say this plan is going to do this, then exactly how? Stop and tell me how. I don't care what you did in the 70s.
And you're right.
What do you do for me lately?
And that's where it was Lester Holt's responsibility.
Yeah, and I don't think he got that job done.
And a lot of it was just so, it was so, I was so excited. It was Lester Holt, one of our very own. More of our Trump trackers when we come back. It's Trump Wednesday on 720 WGN. Pretty late.
Cowardice. Are you serious? Apologies for freedom. I can't handle this. When freedom brings, answer the call. On your feet, stand up tall. Freedom's on our shoulders.
We have a lot more clips to get to. Do you want some more of the cider? They brought a couple bottles of cider.
Yeah, that was really good.
Isn't that tasty?
No,
Right B cider.
I went to an apple picking this weekend.
Did you?
I did. I went to like Wisconsin or somewhere. I don't know. One of the Wisconsin, Minnesota, or Michigan are all kind of the same thing to me.
No.
So I drove like 2 hours
no.
and I arrived
Stop
in an
it.
Apple place.
Okay. How long was the car ride?
I like two-ish.
That's Wisconsin.
Well, agree to disagree. but it was super fun.
Do you remember if you went north or if you went south and then east?
I believe 90.
So
the Kennedy, Dan Ryan, Michigan. Eisenhower.
No, I don't know what you just did there. None of that makes any sense. What did he
Where's
do there,
Esmeralda?
The Kennedy, Dan Ryan, Eisenhower,
Iowa.
Yeah.
Did you go to Iowa?
Were you
Apple
in Chicago?
Was a lot of
yeah,
fun.
Maybe you stayed.
There were trees. There was fresh air. There were goats.
I didn't see any pictures. Did you post any pictures?
I did. I Instagrammed Margaret juggling apples.
All right, I have to take a look at that then. That's Brandon C. Price, the CEO and mastermind behind Vamp. You can go Fridays and Saturdays to MCL on. What's Southport? No. Sheffield?
Sheffield, right below Belmont.
Why can't I get those right? Sheffield and Southport are the two streets.
I mean, they're all like Belmont, Lakeview Theater District, very close together. They do the same thing.
Down by the Vic.
S.
That's what it is. And you can go to vampchicago.com.
You can.
Ticket information. Their shows are on Fridays and Saturdays at 10:30. It's a drinking, comedy, and music show. And you can watch them get drunk and make fun of everything.
We had a proposal. At the show,
I think
on
you
Friday.
Were telling me someone was working that out with you.
Yeah,
how'd it go?
It was awesome. It was awesome. We actually had to turn people away at the door because it was super packed. Like the whole weekend was super packed. But yeah, we did like this whole mini musical about these people's lives, and then you know he had set it up. She didn't know, and they were on stage, and so we did this whole musical. And I was like, "All right, did we leave anything out?" And he goes, "Well, there's one thing."
What?
And she, like he didn't ask the question, and she didn't say yes. He just got on a knee, and she like. Freaked out and stood up and pulled him up and they were kissing and without ever once looking at the ring while she's kissing him, she just takes it from his hand and puts it on her finger. Like never even looked, never. It was a lovely moment.
That's very sweet. Well,
yes,
there you go.
Phil and Megan, thank you.
You can coordinate your celebrations with the cast members of Vamp. I love that. That's very, were they fans of the show?
They were. I asked like, did you guys meet here? And he's like, no, I just, you know, I thought having a musical about her would be so special because she loves musicals. And I was just like, oh. Thank you. I didn't know we were doing anything important. Thank you, sir.
That's very cool. Well, speaking of not doing anything important, let's hear more of the clips from the Trump-Clinton debate on Monday night.
Anything that you wish you did differently?
No, I'm very happy that I was able to hold back on the indiscretions with respect to Bill Clinton, because I have a lot of respect for Chelsea Clinton, and I just didn't want to say what I was going to say. Which is, I'll tell you maybe at the next debate. We'll see.
About Bill Clinton's indiscretions. He has a lot of respect for Chelsea, but he's going to talk about it at the next debate. He felt very proud of himself for not being a douche.
He's huge with Chelsea, believe me.
Yeah, huge. I don't even know what you were saying earlier about why do these attacks, what do this have had anything to do with being president? But more so, even someone running for the president, their husband cheated on them. I don't know how that reflects on her at all.
I don't think that it does. I just think that guy doesn't play the social game at all. Has never had to. If you've been in a position financially or socioeconomically or whatever that you never had to play that game and really like work with others in a way that you're treating people outside of you a little bit different than you're actually thinking, because we all should do that to get along.
Yeah.
He's never had to do that, so no matter if he's actually being a rude person or not, or a stupid person or a smart person, it just sounds in our social culture like, what are you doing right now? How can you be talking that way? This camera is on. This camera is on,
right,
sir. Like, so I find, you know, it's sometimes I honestly don't think he's as bad as what's coming out of his mouth sounds like. And sometimes I think, well, yeah, you are. And that's why the other times we think that.
Right.
So I don't know. He just doesn't play the politician game, for good or bad.
I don't know what he's playing. What else we got? Oh, I know there's someone calling in. I guess we should let someone join the conversation if they want to. You know, oh, by the way, join us anytime. 312-981-7200. You can call or text and let us know what you think. And you can disagree with us. I think there are a lot of people who seem to feel that he did a good job during the debate. I don't know. That's not what I saw. It was a very strange moment that afterwards, and he doubled down on insulting Alicia Machado, who was Miss Universe, when yeah, it was so bizarre. Hey, Chris, what do you want to say?
Hey, Patty, great show as always.
Thank you.
You know, he said he's doing it out of respect for Chelsea.
Yes.
I kind of got the feeling she already knows.
Yeah, I think that she's heard about it. Like, I guess like to bring it up on the national stage during a debate is a way for him to that he didn't do that in that forum was respectful to Chelsea. I guess,
but to me, it doesn't have any effect on the election. It has nothing to do with anything. Why, except being like a cheap shot, I guess.
Yeah, and I think to, you know, make her, I guess, to put her back on her heels, to, you know, shake her up a little bit. That was going to be his intention. Was because I think at one point there was talk about having Jennifer Flowers in the audience. Right. And then there was talk about having Rosie O'Donnell there, which, by the way, how weird was that moment when he said that it's OK that, you know, it's okay to be mean to Rosie O'Donnell. She deserves it. Did you hear that part?
Well, yes, I did. I thought I was proud of her. She pantsed him on national TV, and it was awesome.
Yeah, I don't understand any of that stuff. Well, thank you, Chris. And you're absolutely right. How can you show respect for somebody? She's pretty sure, yeah, pretty sure she already knew that that happened. We have one more before we go to the news?
In Palm Beach, Florida, tough community.
Oh.
A brilliant community, a wealthy community, probably the wealthiest community there is in the world. I opened a club and really got great credit for it. No discrimination against African Americans, against Muslims, against anybody. And it's a tremendously successful club, and I'm so glad I did it. And I have been given great credit for what I did, and I'm very, very proud of it. And that's the way I feel. That is the true way I feel.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure that one out, too. Did Trump... Wait, hold on a second. I'm trying to look at this Palm Beach... did he tell the truth about the Palm Beach thing?
Should you be proud of not discriminating against people? Is that something you should brag about?
I was absolutely not racist today. I would love some credit.
With that one club I opened in Florida, I did everything correctly. I'm proud of myself.
Yeah, I don't know.
It just was the question, what makes you proud of yourself?
But first of all, it isn't even Palm Beach isn't even the wealthiest town in Palm Beach County. The median income, by the way, in Palm Beach is 105.
He does speak in with a little bit of exaggeration. He's very hyperbolistic. Is that a word?
Mm-hmm. The town is tough on crime, but not tough because of crime. There's no need to commit robbery or assault or even interact with an officer. Often driving a junker over one of the bridges or strolling on a public beach at night is enough to be cited. So these are all the things.
By the way, Brandon, the word you were looking for is hyperbolic.
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 Like a hyperbolic time chamber. Nice.
Yeah, I don't understand. Anyway, the Trump, however, was most likely referring to his years-long fight with the town of Palm Beach over transforming Mar-a-Lago into a private club. The town's old guard hated the idea, fearful that Trump's casino background would turn the venerable mansion into an ostentatious Trump Palace Palm Beach. So he's talking about a town that actually fought him on even opening up this private club, and there were a lot of lawsuits going back and forth. There's nothing even in here about like who. I think you have to just spend a tremendous amount of money to even join the club. So who's?
Well, that's why they're so wealthy. Wealthiest in the world.
Well, no, but not even in Palm Beach County.
Well, I mean, you can go to DonaldTrump.com for a fact checker if you'd like.
But how is that a reference to say I'm not racist because I own this elite private club? And could you I'm not racist
say it
because
out loud, it's still stupid.
That's so stupid. All right, I think we've tracked enough Trump for one night. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me is Brandon C. Price, who is the CEO and mastermind behind the drinking comedy music show.
Music Vamp. Comedy drinking show.
Oh, I'm going to get it one of these
It
times.
Has all three things. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I like to get the order straight. Music, comedy, and drinking show.
Mm-hmm.
There it is. At MCL, Fridays and Saturday nights at 10:30. You can go to vampchicago.com for ticket information. And you and I would say are we like to cuss once in a while.
Absolutely.
And by the way, your show, by that very, we should mention, is adult in nature.
It's 10:30 and you BYOB, so you draw your own conclusions as to who should come.
Yes. Did your parents swear in front of you? Do you remember your parents?
No.
No, my parents.
I mean, yes, but no, not at all. But like I would, like my dad would, and then we wouldn't realize we were in the room or something.
Right.
Especially, I was the oldest of three, and being in a Southern Baptist home, like you don't drink and you don't swear, but you do those things. You just don't do them in front of anyone.
Right. My dad never swore in front of me.
Really?
Ever. My mother did.
My mom never did.
My mother did. My mother, because she was learning English as a second language, she learned English, but to her, those words didn't carry, like she didn't grow up with the,
right.
That sort of, that shade of these are bad words. To her, they were new words, mm-hmm. and they were kind of fun, I think. So yes, my mother and I would, and we still do. Although there was a time not too long ago when I cussed at another driver just in the car and, I don't appreciate cussing. And I'm like, since when? She goes, recently. I don't appreciate cussing and those who do it around me. And I was like, oh, okay. It's a new rule. When I was 10, it was okay. But now that I'm older.
That's fairly backwards for mine. Now my mom will she'll whisper them mm-hmm. in a normal sentence. She's like, I just couldn't believe that. Like, I was like, "Mom, this is a safe place."
She walks right up to the line,
yeah,
and then just pulls back.
She'll mouth it.
My sons, I do not. I try very hard not to swear. For a while, up until Griffin was probably 11, I think maybe I'd sworn in front of him twice on accident. And the first time I had almost hit a pedestrian, because the pedestrian, it was one of those moments at an intersection where I was trying to let the pedestrian go at a stop sign, and he was waving me by, and I'm like, no, just you have the right of way, you're a pedestrian, and he wouldn't go. So finally I got to make a move, and I started to go, and so did he. So I cussed, and then Griffin for 10 minutes in the back seat asking what the S word meant and kept saying it over and over and over again. And I didn't want to react because I didn't want to laugh, and I didn't want to, you know, I just, and then, oh, there was one day he was rhyming. He was in the back seat in his little car seat. He was like 2 or 3 years old, and he was rhyming everything with the word duck and truck. And I was like, please, 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 please don't like flinching. But yeah, we for the most part never swore. Steve recently, I think, swore in front of Griffin, and he was surprised. Griffin used to be very appalled by swearing. We were never the kind of like parents that said, don't ever let us see you swear, or don't use that kind of language. We were very frank about it. We would always say, it's not polite. It's, you know, adults sometimes swear when they're frustrated or angry and they can't think of a better word. But there's a study now that says that maybe there's a linguist who says that swearing in front of kids, it might just be fine and dandy.
Well, I find it interesting that something in that article that really stood out to me was the fact that the thing in our brain that makes us swear is almost pre-language, and it's not specifically attached to obviously those words that have evolved over how many ever years, but like stubbing your toe and wanting to react verbally in an angry, guttural way.
Right, because ouch, like, doesn't count, doesn't cut it.
Exactly. Like, yarr! But like personified into words or whatever, and that's what our language has. Those words do that. And you actually, this article says you go to that even before you really learn like sentence structure.
Right.
You know, that makes sense.
It's a reactive kind of a thing more than anything else. Did your parents swear in front of you, Craig? Yep. Esmeralda? Did you?
Oh, yeah.
They did?
Oh, well, all the time. But for some reason, I never picked it up.
Oh.
I never thought to swear because they swore. Like, I just never did it in front of them, yeah.
You were offended by their language?
I wasn't offended. I was like, oh, that's happening. But then I would never do it. I would never swear in front of them. It was weird. But it was, you know, they never told me not to.
My parents didn't seem to care. Like, that was just a part of conversation, and it happened, and then there were children there, and oh, there's a child there.
Because in this article, they're talking about how using the language isn't bad. You're not that you're using the language at your child, that you're not cussing at them or using slurs either. So, you know, if you're yelling at your kid and using, you know,
Yeah, it seems very, like, the stubbing your toe thing, okay, that's natural, and that doesn't seem like it would damage the psyche of a growing, spongy child that learns everything around them. But I think swearing at or about others, whether it's a slur or even just directed, the way you talk about other people, like, you know what I mean? That teaches them how to treat other people. So I think those are two different things. And I think the other thing is, society-wise, like, again, like, kind of goes back to that playing the game thing we were talking about with Hillary and Trump, it's... You need to know that in certain circumstances, like, it's not appropriate just so you'll be respected. You shouldn't swear in a job interview.
No,
and so, like, can a two-year-old, like, distinguish, like, well, I shouldn't swear at mass, but I can swear all I want at the cartoon on the TV. You know what I mean? Like, do you need to be old enough to be able to make that distinction before you start letting all the swear words in front of your kids fly?
Right. I think being honest about what it means to swear. I mean, I don't think when they're little, I don't think that you should. I still think you should not swear in front of your kids, because then, you know, then they go off to their classes. You know, and every home has a different, you know, level of how they use language. So, no, we started talking to Griffin, and really, he hadn't even heard anybody swear until we started watching, you know, basically live action movies. He'd pretty much only watch animated movies until, like, he didn't like a lot of things, you know, he didn't want to watch, like, E.T. Just as easy as that, they're swearing in that movie.
Yeah.
I do love that your swearing policy is only because other kids might pick it up. It's not even to do with your kid. You're like, well, the other kids might.
It is also to protect his innocence, absolutely. I'm saying in general, if you're going to swear in front of your kids, there should be like an honest discussion about it. That's what I mean. Yeah, I don't want him to swear either, but I don't think that you should swear in front of your kids without some sort of conversation about what it means to swear, because like even saying the words for body parts. Like, I have always been very honest about using specific words. And then I found out from other parents that Griffin would use them at school. you know, and I was like, oh, I'm the, and there were other parents that did too.
Yeah, but at that point, it's like, well, the context of what's being said is the same. Right. Whether it's a smook, oh, my smooky, or like, you know, or like right. the actual words
and
for
that's
things,
why,
like, you're still
and,
talking about it.
Right. I always made sure that he had the word for penis. I never wanted him to say like dingle dangle or my mm-hmm. oodle or my noodle.
My dingle dangle.
The dingle dangle. So he, you know, he used the word at school and other parents were like, I'm so glad that you used the real language. And other parents were like, my son told me that your son said this word at school. I was like, because that's. Like, it would be the same if he said his elbow. I don't know.
Yeah. Well,
because a penis is not even a swear word. It's a medical
yeah.
term.
And the thing is, if you hide those words, whether they're swear words or penis words or whatever, now they can't do them. And what do we all want to do? The
right.
things we can't do.
Right.
So, like, now it's cool to get on the bus in fourth grade and
right.
be like, you know what? A word that rhymes with, you know what I mean? Like, instead of like, oh, yeah, my parent, that's just another word. Like, you're being a little loser kid right now.
Yeah. Well, it was weird when Griffin tried to use the F word, because now he watches John Oliver. And so, you know, we're not telling him it's okay that he swears. We're saying it does happen, and this is how it's done by somebody who's a performer. Mm-hmm. But then Griffin was telling me he was getting upset about his grandpa Larry. My father was a heavy smoker. And Griffin was saying, the tobacco company's really effed over Grandpa Larry. And I was like, I'm sorry. That's not how we talk.
True, not the point, though.
Exactly. I know. I just looked at him and I was like, okay, let's take it down a notch. Yes, you can. There are other ways we can discuss this rather than using that word. But I think because John Oliver uses it for emphasis and he swears a lot.
Mm-hmm.
A lot.
If you're on HBO, just go nuts.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is Benjamin Bergen, who's a linguist and a professor of cognitive science at UC Davis. And he has studied swearing, reflecting on the question of how it should be used around children. So he's written a book called What the F? What Swearing Reveals About Our Language, Our Brains, and Ourselves. So I like that. I like the idea of, you know, getting not just having a conversation, but I might actually get this book to
yeah.
see. I want to know what swearing reveals about us.
Would it change your mind?
I don't know. We'll just see. Hey, Todd, what do you think?
Hey, Patty.
Hey, Todd Chuchak.
Well, how you doing? I got just a quick one with the language. I've always sworn in front of my kids, unfortunately, and in high school I actually got the Foulest Mouth Award when I graduated, so I have that up on my wall. I almost won first and second place.
Was that also a criteria for joining the fire department?
I think it was.
Yes.
I think it was. Mm-hmm. But when my son was just learning how to talk, we used to take him to a sitter, and my wife was dropping him off, and it wasn't anything that she did, but somebody cut her off, and she honked the horn, and he had heard me say before F and A hole.
Right.
So he repeated it as soon as my wife honked the horn. And it took us a few months. Every time he heard a horn honk,
yeah,
he would say F and A hole.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It was a Pavlov's dog thing.
That's.
So we could be in a mall and somebody get mad when they pull into the parking spot. And then you hear this kid about 1 year old, you know, F and A hole.
Wow. See, and that's yeah. see, and that's what I mean, though, like, because now it's kind of funny. But what did you say to people when your son would do that?
I wouldn't say anything. I just keep walking. There's nothing you can say. You know, they're going to say, well, that's the parent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry.
No, it's a great story. Thank you, Todd.
Yeah.
And thank you for listening. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, take care.
Thanks. Bye. We are going to talk about some tech stuff when we come back. You know how Samsung Note 7s just blow
they
up?
Yeah, just explode.
Guess what? They've got another piece of equipment that just blows up.
Aww.
And there's something the iPhone has said that they're not going to help you with, no matter how much you whine and say, but it doesn't work. Tough. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is Brandon C. Price, the CEO and mastermind behind Vamp, a music, comedy, and drinking show every Friday and Saturday night at 10:30 at MCL over there on Sheffield, right across the street pretty much from the Vic Theater,
mm-hmm.
and vampchicago.com for ticket information. You can schedule your surprise bachelorette party or proposal or whatever you want to surprise somebody with. They'll do anything.
We'll do quinceañeras. We'll go anywhere. I don't care.
Quinceañeras. I love it. You have an iPhone?
I do.
Which one do you have?
6S Plus.
And Craig, you have an iPhone?
It is a 6, yes.
Esmeralda, I believe you and I are droids.
No.
We're droids.
Yeah.
I have a Samsung. I have an older model. I have a Note 4. I can't believe they're already on Note 7, which we'll talk about in just a moment. But because Craig and Brandon have the iPhone 6, there apparently is something called a screen disease?
Yeah, there's screen death or screen disease. Apparently the touchscreen just stops working.
On
Apple knows.
Phone?
On your phones and my phone. Apple's, they've confirmed to their employees that it's a thing, but not to the outside world.
Yep.
And it's their fault. It's some sort of hardware issue, but they don't care.
And they don't care. They've known for months.
So, yeah. But if this happens, I get a new one?
Nope. If it's out of warranty, you're just out of luck. Or it's $300-something to have Apple fix it for you.
Or you can get a refurbished phone that you can trade in your phone and not have your phone anymore.
Yeah. What's the percentage chance this happens to me?
Pretty good. It's continuing to happen more and more to phones older they get.
Contagious.
Yeah. Not so fancy, your dumb iPhones.
Whatever. Our phones are still way better than yours. Okay, Google
well,
this.
Well, at least mine doesn't die on me.
Well, as long as you don't get the one that explodes, because Samsung's having a little bit of an issue with the Note 7.
That's crazy.
You're not even allowed to take them on planes anymore. Or at least make sure that they're off, because they're afraid that they'll explode. And I know, like, I wanted the Note 7. The Edge is really cool. I like the Samsung devices. I told Brandon see prices off the air that they make things other than phones, and he was wondering if perhaps they're spreading themselves a little too thin. I actually wanted a Samsung washer and dryer, only guess what, those are exploding as well.
How big are these explosions? Like, are they killing three people, or is it like, oh, my hand hurts?
Well, all I know is that when a headline says U.S. regulators are warning customers about exploding Samsung washers, I don't want that in my house, because especially since you have a lot of these right next to the gas line when you have the dryers.
And my only nice shirt is in the wash at that point, you know.
Mm-hmm. And there's no such thing as a tiny explosion causing a little problem. It's like any explosion causes lots of damage.
21 people have submitted cases to the CPSC, the Consumer Product Safety Commission. And they have washers that have exploded or blown apart. One customer in Texas said the explosion had so much force, it went through the wall of her garage.
Okay. All right.
That's significant.
That answers the question specifically. that's how much it does. But is anybody walking around with, like, out fingers because their phone exploded in their hand? You know what I mean?
There was one guy whose car, burned. I mean, it was on fire. But I wondered if he also didn't want his car anymore and said, oops, I also left my phone in my car.
Well, he put it in the gas tank, so that was the issue.
Well, you can't keep
don't
it
leave
there.
It there.
Well, you don't do
that was not written on any instructions.
I love this. From the statement from Samsung is, it is important to note that Samsung customers have completed hundreds of millions of loads without incident since 2011.
Hey, 95% of the time, die when you use our products. So
people have been enjoying their clean, fresh laundry for 5 years. Let's not go pointing fingers over a few that blow up. But when you have a tech issue, it is frustrating because we are so reliant on these devices, especially, you know, our phones now. These are little computers, and we demand so much of them. So, yeah, if your touchscreen all of a sudden doesn't work on your iPhone, that's frustrating, and you spend so much money on them.
See, that's kind of something I just wish I didn't know, because if it's not happening to me right now, I would much rather live in blissful ignorance until the second that it does, because I can either worry up until that point, or I cannot, now I have to.
Yeah, but at least it's not, don't you feel a little better in comparison that it's not bursting into flames?
No, because I wouldn't buy a Samsung. Because iPhones rule.
See, but also that whole thing with the death thing. I mean, if it happens, it happens.
So screen death.
If the screen dies, it dies.
Well, okay,
there's
but let me ask you this.
There's nothing you can do about it. You just keep going.
But is me knowing about it now and therefore worrying about it daily until it happens, if it ever happens, am I affecting the world around me with my negativity in such a way that I'm actually increasing the probability of this phone exploding?
Don't worry.
Your phone doesn't explode.
Yeah,
it dies.
It's going to die.
Whatever, man. I don't want it to.
If it happens, it happens.
Have we made the world a worse place because we have scared iPhone users and possibly Samsung washer
I mean, the more negativity owners? In the world, I mean, our brains perceive everything, you know? I think we kind of make reality with our thoughts, so.
I don't want to tell you what's coming up after the news about pumpkins.
If pumpkins explode, I'm out, man.
I got to find another story for you. Because you're going to be very upset to find out about those pumpkin cans. We should find a different topic to cheer up Brandon.
You know what else is going to suck in your life soon?
Possibly. Listeners, 312-981-7200. Have we lessened your day?
You know what?
Yes.
You know what, too, Brandon? Just think of all the experiences you had with the iPhone
before
it dies.
I love this freaking phone.
You're right. Don't be sad it's over. Be happy it happened. There you go.
Well, I use mine for my job, though. I Uber with my phone. So I could be like, Apple, I Uber with my phone. Give me a new phone.
I don't know.
Don't you think? Lawyers, call in. Yeah. Take my case.
It's preemptively. It's crucial for operating your business.
It is.
For your employment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but here's the thing. Also, now appreciate your phone so much more. Every time you touch it, you go, oh, it still works.
Isn't there like once a week, anybody of us that remember a time before cell phones, isn't there like a once a week time where you just kind of look at your phone and you're doing something and you go, holy crap. This is a magic tiny box that if mm-hmm. you asked me about 20 years ago, I'd laugh at you and say, yeah, Star Trek.
Yeah.
I think about that with the maps.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't be able to get anywhere.
Yeah.
Without the thing. I do everything. I go, how long is it going to take me or how will I get there?
Which map do you use?
Google Maps.
You use Google Maps? Because I use Waze. I kind of love Waze.
No, I use Waze Google
Maps. Waze
is
like the one that'll take you on tiny little roads to get you past traffic. And
alleys,
stuff.
Baby. Yeah. It'll take you in alleys.
That's pretty cool.
I kind of love that. Plus, you also can see like your, a lot of your other Waze users, if they're on Facebook, you can see who's nearby, which is sort of weird and creepy. But
yeah,
still.
The whole Find My Friend thing iPhone has, like mm-hmm. you can sign up to like be, I mean, like, no, that is absolutely the opposite of what I'm trying to do.
And it's kind of nice, though. My mm-hmm. friends were using it at a festival.
Oh.
So they were tracking their
well,
other
that
people.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
I find
that.
Festivals, though, there's so much like data usage that it's kind of like your phone will kind of start being like, oh, I can't do anything. Mm-hmm. You know, because there's like Pride, your phone is pointless at Pride.
At Pride? Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. no
there's
doubt
about
it.
There's too many humans on their phone.
Everyone's on their phones. Oh, by the way, speaking of events and people you want to track, come hang out with me this Sunday, October 2nd. It is walk day for JDRF. And I'm going to be at the beach. I'm trying to figure out what, I think I'm going to be at Montrose Beach. I'm going to be on the lakefront at 8:30 a.m. There's going to be registration at 8:30. The walk starts at 9:30. There's going to be lunch. There'll be live music, children's activities. Ooh, and the Jesse White tumblers. Yes, it will be at Montrose Harbor. So you can go up to the go to the beach, hang out with me on Sunday. It'll be a lot of fun. I'm excited because I'm usually at Bussy Woods, but I asked them for the. I hope I didn't jump on. I think Nick D was at the beach last year. I wanted to go to the beach. So you are listening pretty late. I'm your host Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. I'm happy to be back. I took last night off, and Mark Carman was filling in for me. I was first in Streeter, Illinois. Working, we were harvesting the corn yesterday, and had a blast riding the combine. They still did not let me drive any equipment, Craig. I was still not allowed to take the wheel. I'd been told every single time that I was there that yes, I'd be able to drive something, and that never ever happened.
Okay. Have you also wanted to drive the Zamboni every time you go to a Blackhawks game? Yeah, I don't know what it is about equipment. I would like to, you know, drive it.
Yep. Have you ever been to the Museum of Science and Industry here, Craig? Have you ever seen the combine that they have?
Yeah.
You know who's on the radio in the box in the cab of the combine?
I do not.
It's Orion Samuelson. Yeah, they have him doing a farm report.
He's That's awesome.
Our very own business and farm. So I mentioned that yesterday, and I cannot tell you how angry some of the folks are with that are on the farms in Illinois that is still the combine that they have on display. And they have offered to give the Museum of Science and Industry $1 million worth of equipment to replace what's there. And the museum has said, and I probably should talk to the Museum of Science and Industry, but they've said that that's not a priority for them. So that's kind of disappointing.
Just because it's an outdated system?
Well,
that's why they don't like it?
They don't like they don't like that. It's not representative of what they do anymore. Because so I was in the combine yesterday with farmer Justin Durden. And so the combine rips up all the stalks, you know, kind of directs it into that bin. And it shaves the corn off the husk and gets rid of it and like, tosses everything else aside. That's all used for like mulch mm-hmm. and for replanting for the next season. And then so while they're, you know, obviously that's going to fill up and you don't want to, you know, get out of the fields and dump it out. So they have a grain cart that pulls up next to it. And then this arm, the auger arm, comes out and dumps all the corn, right, to move that to the semis that will then take it to the storage.
Right.
So he actually has this, he has control of that grain cart. Once that cart pulls up next to him, he has a touch screen that he can control the speed of that truck now. Right, so he can slow it down, he can back it up, he can move it closer. So it's he can sync it and link it through technology.
So he's got like an RC car inside of his awesome big car.
Exactly.
That's pretty sweet.
It's really cool. So I mean like stuff, you know, just little things like that, but the you know, and they can also measure the moisture of the corn going into the cart. So they have, cuz they need it to be at about 17%. And like it goes in at about 26% yesterday, so they know how much they'll have to dry it over the next few days. I know, so it's like they would like to show people how far technology, because they use drones, they you know so yeah. many things to just determine the moisture of the soil and the chemicals that are present there how it'll affect their growing. They're very proud of how far they've come in agriculture, and they want to share that with the Museum of Science and Industry. I think it makes sense.
Yeah, if you've got, I mean, although you know they have an old submarine, they got a lot lot of old stuff, so maybe it's like there's a historical element to that. But I guess they're still presenting it as like this is what they're doing. They don't say like this German submarine from World War II is still what they're using.
That's true, right? This well, then I guess the farmers would probably rather they say, "Hey, this is a 26-year-old combine that they still have here."
That's true. Like back in the 80s, this is what they did.
Yeah, I don't know.
It was the 90s.
Maybe because something like that. Whoa. We're gonna have in the next few weeks. We're gonna have Trisha Baird from the Illinois Corn Marketing Board in studio to let you know how you can win a virtual reality viewer. So you snap in your phone.
Man.
And we are, because I'm hosting these 360 videos. So we've been shooting a series of videos. We went out there for the planting season. I went out there for what's called side dressing, where they treat the plants, you know, to make sure that they survive the rest of the summer. I was there for crop dusting, and I was there yesterday for harvest season. So it was a lot of fun.
Very cool.
I enjoy it. You know what? One thing I'm very proud of is that there are these little weeds that Justin was like, he's like, I got to get rid of these. And the first time I had arrived at the farm, I was like, oh, they have chamomile around here because you can smell it when you get out of the car. And he's picking up these weeds. I'm like, oh, that's, you have a lot of chamomile. And he goes, that's not chamomile. And we were talking about having a phone, and I Googled chamomile, and I'm like, yes, it is. There's an image of it. So it is
a whole new crop he can make money off of.
That's what I was telling him. He didn't really seem to be that into it. Harvesting tea doesn't seem to be Justin's cup of tea.
Zing.
Da-da. But it is harvest season, which means we are now in the full swing of autumn. And today it's chilly out. It's coat weather. It's boot weather. It's kind of great. I mean, I love the summer. Apple Fest coming up. You can go and ring in the autumn and celebrate.
It's crazy how fast it comes. Like up here, I think people take for granted that there are four seasons and they literally change from season to the next season in like a day and a half. That's just so not what I'm used to. Most of the South has a season and a half. You know what I mean? Like the weird spring, winter, fall that's all kind of 80 degrees and then like cold for a minute. But here there's like four separates in like you're just not ready for. I don't know how you guys like know it's coming.
Clearly defined. I never put my sweaters away. I'll put away my summer and spring stuff. I never put my sweaters away.
Hmm.
I know.
I guess I should assimilate.
No, it's, you know, I think it's nice to be surprised by something.
I just don't have like the medium stuff. Like this is one of my winter coats. I'm either like in, you know, a t-shirt or straight up like a double layered wool coat.
Right. Yeah,
I don't like being cold.
I have so many coats. I have to pare down.
Yeah.
I have too many coats. I have like long coats. I have puffy coats.
It's nice though, because the one thing coats give you is like, I don't have to dress up at all for you people, because eight layers under here, I'm just going to be as comfortable as I want. I do appreciate that part of it.
No doubt about it. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping we don't have... In my entire life, I had never experienced the kind of cold we had for two winters.
It's supposed to be the worst.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be the worst. Absolutely. Like La Nina or somebody.
Okay. Remember when you said that you didn't really like me telling you that your screen could die on your iPhone?
It doesn't feel so good,
Wait
huh?
Wait a minute. I don't think I like the direction of this.
Future is ruined. Hey, you know what? Theater absolutely blossoms when it's cold outside.
Oh, no doubt.
So bring it on.
Bring the crowds is what you're saying.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, because in Chicago, we don't want to sit in the theater when we could be outside.
No, absolutely.
Weather.
You have like a month and a half to enjoy outside. I understand that. But now I'm glad you can't anymore. Come to the show.
Oh, I forgot to tell you, by the way. Yeah, come to go see a show. But Esmeralda, I forgot to tell you, we did harvest. The farmers made sure that they set aside your stock of corn. So I forgot to bring it in tonight, but we do have Esmeralda for you. It's just a corn cob.
Be careful; she might overtake your house.
She's a biggin. That's all I know. Do you like all the pumpkin spice stuff? Do you like the lattes and the cookies?
Not really. Mm-hmm. I enjoy pie, pumpkin pie.
Oh, well, so I don't know if I should tell Esmeralda this story either, because
I mean, I'm not gonna be real mad about it, but
so
know,
the
it's enjoyable.
Do you know the those cans of pumpkin pie filling?
Yes,
they're not really pumpkin.
Really,
contain pumpkin. It's a blend of various squashes. Which I mean, pumpkin's a squash.
Well, wait a minute. Then what are they doing down in Illinois, down south?
I don't
at the Libby's place.
Maybe they're there's a lot of squash.
Oh, maybe they have real pumpkin.
Yeah, maybe they do. It's a blend of squashes like Hubbard, Golden Delicious, and butternut. And but they're pumpkin adjacent.
Call it a medley of squash mix.
No one's gonna buy squash medley. They want pumpkin.
Well, if you
pumpkin.
Didn't start lying to me, I'd have been okay with it in the beginning. But now you're right.
Does anyone even want actual pumpkin?
So like when pumpkin spiced lattes appear in every coffee shop ever, are those gourds? Are those butternut squash? Is that not real pumpkin?
I mean, isn't
either?
That just the flavor? Isn't that just a fake flavoring?
But if the flavoring's got to be totally fake, then right?
That's just powder.
Exactly. I mean, the flavoring of what you're really tasting, because you know,
they don't
it is squash.
Squeeze pumpkins back there.
Are you talking about for the lattes and
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, for like Starbucks.
It's just
the employees really hate this season because of all the pumpkin squeezing.
They're all back there just mashing them up.
They have real strong arm muscles.
No, yeah, I got to stay after.
It's basically just, isn't it just nutmeg and cinnamon?
I don't know. I don't particularly enjoy the taste of pumpkin.
Yeah, I think that's the big mm-hmm. get, because they're not like throwing in a can of pumpkin into your latte.
It's hard to get that through the straw.
Yeah. But can you even, I mean, you can't really even cook with a pumpkin, like the kind you get where you carve the face into it.
Yeah, now I'm
like,
curious.
I don't think
but
you
surely,
can
like, they must
that,
have,
really.
They must have for hundreds of years, right?
Before. Pumpkin spice latte is a coffee drink mixed with traditional fall spices, including cinnamon, nutmeg, clove, steamed milk, espresso, and then topped with whipped cream and pumpkin pie spice. That's the only
the
pumpkin
natural
aspect.
Occurring pumpkin pie spice.
I want to know if you're right though. I mean, if you're going to carve a pumpkin, usually we scoop out all the innards, and I have these dreams of making, you know, roasting
something
the seeds.
With them. Yeah,
yeah. Like, they're so good.
I mean, people had to cook pumpkins for a long time before we were able to make fake food.
I think you can, but it's just very arduous.
Yes,
it's an arduous task with the kind that you make the faces on.
Well, I will never be burdened with the knowledge of how. So,
here we go. There's a website called The Pioneer Woman. On how to make homemade pumpkin puree. I don't know why she's playing a banjo.
They all are.
On the prairie, the Pioneer Woman. So you can go to thepioneerwoman.com and learn how to make your own fresh pumpkin puree and then make your own pumpkin filling.
Is it easy?
No.
Arduous at best.
There you go.
Arduous at best. She's got a very long article before I can get to the instructions on how to do it. By the way, because it's sort of stringy when you pull all the pulp out of the pumpkin.
It's gutsy.
It's gutsy.
Guts-y, excuse me.
So rather than carving it, oh, here you go. She has you cut the top off and then cut it in half. Do you see that? Like, it looks like it's got, I'm sorry.
You got to scoop out the meat?
Yeah, scoop out all the meat. That was very cool what I just had there, and I lost the picture.
I trust you.
I know.
You cut the hard shell out or
well,
off?
That top part, but then you cut it in half so that you have a side profile. See that?
That's, and then you roast it, right?
There you go. We have to pretend you're a surgeon. Yeah, so you do this all with all of them.
Just put the pumpkin in on low heat for 30 minutes.
Well, first,
eat it.
First she scoops out all of the guts, all the seeds and stuff like that, and scrape out the seeds and pulp from the center. And you can also, by the way, then she cuts them into quarters. See, it looks like she...
You know what? It's not bad. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll make a pie. I'll make a pie for y'all.
Out of a real pumpkin and tell us how hard it was?
But it probably isn't. You know what? It's the cutting. If you don't have a good big old knife, that's going to be real hard and you might hurt yourself.
Here's what she does. So then she roasts those quarters on a baking sheet, and then the skin, because it's roasted, slides right off. And now you have all the meat.
I bet a hacksaw would go real well through a pumpkin.
Oh, for sure. A tiny hacksaw.
There you go.
And then I could do that. I've made that spaghetti squash.
Yeah.
Same deal.
And then you, with a food processor, you take a few chunks at a time and break it down.
Oh, easy peasy.
There
lemon
you go.
Squeezy.
Nothing arduous about that.
I'm going to make you guys a pie.
All right.
This is recorded, so we will hold you to that.
I didn't say when.
So if you want to get the instructions for that one, go to thepioneerwoman.com. Is that where you're going to go or get your own?
No, I'll go there.
Don't you love those old like recipes and like remedies and that kind of thing?
Yes.
Have you ever read Foxfire?
No.
A series of six books, and it's told like through the narrative of a guy who went to like the hills of Appalachia, somewhere like real East Kentucky-y kind of place, and was teaching English out there, and was like, you know, 50 years backwards. So he just started writing down what the kids actually knew about instead of what they were trying to learn. And it's everything from like cooking stuff like that to like snares to
hog
surviving.
Dressing, cabin building, mountain crafts and foods.
But it's in a really cool, loose, like half fictional narrative. But it's like super. If you're one of those like survivalist or like old timey remedy, that kind of a thing, Foxfire, man, check that out.
Do you ever have someone like give you a remedy, like a Vicks, you know, vapor rub remedy? Like,
put peanut butter on it and stand upside down for a minute.
Have you ever heard the one about like for a wart, put duct tape on it? Anybody hear that one?
I've heard that.
Have you heard that?
I
was in my doctor's office. I have something on the bottom of my foot that I've been told was a callus, and he said I think it might be a wart.
Is it not real?
It's 2016, and they don't know the difference.
He told me to use duct tape.
Yeah, there's something about it and the chemicals or something, or maybe because you cover it. And the glue. I don't know what it is.
Man,
We had a caller call in just now who did not want to give her name for some reason, but she said there's two types of pumpkin, one that you cut and one that you cook, and we should all know that.
Oh, thank you.
And then
you.
She didn't want to be identified.
Oh, unidentified caller?
She works for the pumpkin lobby.
Wait, I don't know if they she's in hiding know. Or something and she just had to call us.
She didn't want to be identified?
She could have told us which ones to cut.
I think only cut the tasty pumpkin.
It did seem like the Pioneer woman was using smaller ones, so I didn't read too closely, but we appreciate the information. Mm-hmm. We need that kind of intel here all the time.
Yeah, the other ones, the ones you cut, they explode.
You don't want that to happen. Definitely do not put it in your Samsung dryer. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me is Brandon C. Price, the CEO and mastermind behind Vamp, a musical comedy and drinking show at MCL on Fridays and Saturday nights, 10:30. You can go to vampchicago.com for more information. And Brandon, what compelled you to, well, did you ever feel like you wanted to be in an office setting, like a 9-to-5? No, never.
I mean, I was never good at the schedule thing like that. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. I'm a really hard worker when it comes to something I'm good at and or passionate about.
Right.
But I seem to be pretty lazy and unmotivated when it comes to things I don't want to do. And especially on a schedule like that, that's just not me. I'm really good at working really hard for 40 hours straight and then resting for, you know what I mean?
Like, yes.
My own schedule is more important to me than say health benefits.
And I don't know where my sort of that I avoided it. I knew even in, as an undergrad, I wanted to be a lawyer. So that would have been something that would have obviously been rigorous and mm-hmm. in an office setting. But then when I decided I wanted to study to become an academic, I wanted to be a professor of history. Like the reason I was drawn to that was it seemed a little more like I had different hours. It was mm-hmm. a different environment. I would always be surrounded by really stimulating conversation. And, you know, on campuses, you have theaters and, you know, great coffee shops. I loved the environment at the University of Illinois, and I knew that there were places like that all over the world, and that would be something that I would want to do and live like that. I worked very close with my professors. I often babysat for, you know, their kids, so I knew what their lives were like. So I kind of had a glimpse into that. I actually had a direct line to go. I could see myself living like mm-hmm. this. So I don't think I ever wanted to work. You know, I had a lot of friends that went into advertising or into accounting, and it just never seemed like it was something for me. Even when I was at Northwestern and I realized that I needed to find something else, that it wasn't quite what I thought being in grad school would be like, I started interviewing for like Merck. I interviewed for a lot of different companies, and every time I would go in, even the interviews seemed really strange. Like I had never done it before. So tell us some of your strengths. You know, what would people say, you know, you find challenging? What would people say are your weaknesses? And I was
people
like,
people don't normally say anything.
I know if they say it, they say it behind my back. Well, you know, a lot of my friends went to big offices, and you know, obviously companies, they want to recruit the smartest, the brightest, you know, graduates from college. But what a lot of people are finding in office places is that while they're recruited for their skills or maybe, you know, how high they scored on various tests or their grades, once they get into this corporate environment, they're not challenged at all. They're actually encouraged to sort. This article is called "Stupefied," and organizations enshrine collective stupidity, and employees are rewarded for checking their brains at the door. And part of that is to not challenge. I mean, like, you're backing away because you're concerned about that.
No, I mean, why not have smart people make stuff better at work? You work, like, you know what I mean? Like, please go on.
Those who learn how to switch off their brains are rewarded by avoiding thinking too much. They're able to focus on getting things done rather than being creative. They want them to kind of go into rote.
They're systematic. Like, yeah. I just need you to fill out the spreadsheet the same way every time. So if you start getting creative and trying to do it some new way, well, then I've got to go up the ladder and change the systems and all those things. And I just need you to be a computer right now.
Right. And they also, and I think there's also an element of then challenging, right? Then somebody who's, I remember in the comedy clubs, like if we were having really off nights and someone would say, hey, have you thought about trying this? Like comedy club managers would be like, you think I sit around all day just trying to think of how to make this worse? I mean, people don't like to be challenged.
No, people, like, ideas are babies.
Right.
And it's very hard to kill your baby. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So everybody likes to defend ideas to the death regardless. It kind of quickly stops being about whether they're third party objectively right or not.
Right.
It's just like, well, I came up with that, so I was right. And if you're in any sort of authority, like a boss or something, it would be pointless to waste your time trying to change something like that.
Right. It's kind of sad. They've found many ways that organizations positively encourage intelligent people not to fully use their intelligence. I mean, I can't imagine. You got to figure that's not like they're not outlining it. Like, be less intelligent.
No, I think it's a byproduct of, like I said, like creating a system, creating a reliable, consistent system to do one thing.
Yes.
Doing one thing doesn't challenge. It's an assembly line, but it's our version of it in our technological age.
Right, because bureaucracy does not function with challenges.
No, a bunch of creatives. That's why people like us don't work there. Like, I can't fill out a spreadsheet. I got too many cool ideas.
And if, especially if you have, and this is something Dr. Daphne Scott has talked about, is leadership, right? And she talks about how not just the people that you put in charge of managing, but also like encouraging people to lead in their own way, you know, that works well together, so that it's an entire network of people who are there to better the environment, you know, so that it's not, you know, this sort of push and pull situation where everyone feels challenged. But if you can't get people to the point where, you know, leadership can listen to their employees,
right?
And if they feel challenged,
well, there's a lot of those really cool jobs that, like, you walk in and there's beanbags and foosball, and you know, everyone's like super encouraged to just like freely think outside the box all the time, right?
Yeah.
Are those, but is there a happy medium? Because I don't want to sit in a beanbag all day. That's super painful.
Yeah, I don't know. I this is a hard conversation, I think, probably for us, because none of us.
Nope.
Craig, have you ever worked in a 9-to-5 job? Have you have?
Yeah, I did sales for 5 years. I worked at Groupon, CareerBuilder, a bunch of places.
But is sales 9-to-5? Because I did car sales.
Sold to the West Coast more often than not, so it was technically like 11-to-7, but it was a 8-hour
yeah,
day
I guess
job.
You do have to show, because like sales for me, like whether we did demo sales, we did car sales, we did like the ShamWow stuff, but live kind of thing.
Oh, nice.
But it was more about units. You know what
I mean?
Because
indoor,
the higher-ups just needed the numbers. So
yeah.
If you reached your numbers by 1 p.m., it was like, all right, cool.
I did indoor phone sales. So I would call companies for 8 hours a day.
Okay, yeah. So they're timing you anyway.
Yeah.
Did you feel that there was the emphasis, not emphasis, but
you know,
you weren't encouraged to be creative?
Groupon was probably the only one that was a little different, since there was so much leeway in who you sold to, how you sold the product, what the deal we offered was. There
right.
was a little bit more, you know, kind of creativity, I guess, behind how you pitch that.
Especially because it's still new.
Yeah, especially at the time it was pretty new. But the other jobs, no. They definitely wanted you to just essentially read a script and add a little bit of flavor.
Just add
your own flavor, but read the script.
Do as you're told. Esmeralda, did you ever have a 9-to-5?
Oh, my God, yes. I was a receptionist.
Oh.
It was life soul-sucking. I remember I had to be there 8:30 to 5:30,
mm-hmm.
because they would take into account lunch.
Right.
And it was the worst. I just would plot and plot how I could get out of it. And luckily, I applied to do traffic, and
hello.
I got the gig.
Oh, so cool.
Oh, my God. And when I told them I was quitting, they're like, oh, but you just started. I'd started like 6 months before that.
What's that new girl's
and
name?
And they liked me, and they're like, I can't believe you're leaving. I'm like, sorry, bye.
I have the utmost respect for it. I mean, like my sister, she's got 2 degrees and does accounting 9-to-5 every day, and she's very driven to do her job, and she appreciates the schedule and the control, and she gets her check, and she works so that she can live outside of work. And
right.
for me, like, I respect that incredibly. I don't have that discipline inside myself. I would rather work. Wait, she works to live. I would rather live to work, which generally means
right.
you do your own kind of thing and you get paid a lot less. You know, so it's, I don't think one's better than the other. It's just about how you as a person, like, are you type A, need a structure, or are you just like, wee? Like, you know?
I'm more wee.
Yeah.
Although
the wees have more fun and less money. That's just kind of how it goes.
I should probably have more structure in my life. I don't know. I worked as a temp for a long time. What I used to laugh at, I worked at Ganella Breads. I was doing a lot of their entry, like their routes and names for deliveries and things like that. So they would get in this little office. Everyone had their, you know, it was kind of like a big office with a bunch of little desks. And they would start ordering lunch at like 9:00 in the morning, 9:30. Like, they would start calling around to the restaurants in the area. Like, that was their big part of the day.
Yeah.
Was calling around to find out what the lunch specials were and what were they going to order for lunch. I'm like, it's 9.
Life is a thrilling roller coaster.
It's like, this is, I don't think I can do this.
The most exciting thing I had at work was that I started a rubber ball. Like a rubber band.
Ball.
Yeah, yeah. And it started growing and growing. I was like, this is the greatest thing ever.
How big did you get it?
like maybe smaller, baseball size, maybe.
Baseball size? All right.
I could hurt someone with it.
Speaking of baseball, today the Cubs, they had their, you know, they had a lottery for being able to buy the first round of playoff tickets. So we'll find out. Maybe, did anyone get chosen to buy tickets? 312-981-7200. I know I did not. 312-981-7200. We're going to talk about Cubs tickets and the playoffs. And I'm sure the Braves did well, didn't they?
The Braves are the hottest team in the league. I'm just telling you right now. Freddie Freeman, 30-game hitting streak. We're going to be so good next year. Nobody thought we were.
Oh, look, he's got next year on the brain. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is Brandon C. Price, the CEO and mastermind of Vamp, a music, comedy, and drinking show. And we're both baseball fans. I think it's safe to say Craig, also a baseball fan. How did the Yankees do this year? They do all right?
Are you rubbing
it? No, I have no idea.
We were technically not eliminated. Today we had a walk-off grand slam that kept us in contention.
That's good.
But we'll probably be eliminated tomorrow.
Yeah, why go?
Wow.
Yes. We have an outside playoff shot still.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
And a shot at the wild card?
Yeah, and then we'll probably lose that game.
Wow.
We don't really have the pitching.
A lot of hope.
Yeah.
Are you guys eliminated, Brandon?
Oh, we were eliminated. We were eliminated before it was, I mean, honestly, I think maybe before the break, because we were on pace to lose 100 games. But we are the hottest hitting team in baseball right now.
So you're excited about next year.
It's like what the Cubs had 2 years ago, when all of a sudden you went from like crap to, oh man, there's some young guys that, like, I thought they were too young. I thought it was going to take a really long time, but look at these guys coming up through the system. And all of a sudden you've got a big, youthful, like, group that came up together, that went through the farm system, that are very talented and very new. And now you've got what you have with the Cubs. And the Braves are 2 years prior to where the Cubs are now. So it's very exciting as a Braves fan, but also, like, just, I mean, Cubs fan or not, when you're here, it's just starting to get nuts.
How much do you think, because I'm not familiar with the machinations of baseball, how much does that have to do with management and the front offices and all that?
Because they just signed management and, like, baseball operations, it's absolutely, it is chess. It is a skill that is so make or break. And when you talk about managers, yes, they have input, and yes, they, like, run each game specifically. I mean, whether it's the bullpen or the lineups, like, very important stuff. But making the teams, making the decisions, being able to see 2 years from now, and not only, like, player talent, but contracts, money, and then you get into, like, arbitration and, like, all, like, Rule 5 drafts and international drafts and all these draft points that you have. And, like, there's so many weird rules and financial stipulations that people don't know about. The incredible chess game those guys have to play. And how it makes or breaks not only baseball of the day, but, like, the team in 2 years, the franchise in a couple of years. It's absolutely, probably as a team player, the most important thing by far.
Yeah, because they just signed Theo Epstein to another 5 years.
As well they should.
Yeah. It seems like that's required. We're all very excited about that. It's a fantastic season. We have won our 101st. I don't think we won today, so we won 101 games.
1910 was the last time that happened?
1935. Yes. I believe that's correct. Now I have to go Googling the last time they won.
How many games left do they have? There's no more home games, right? How about David Ross? How sweet was that? Did you see that game?
I did not.
David Ross, a veteran catcher, has been around the league, but, you know, really leadership, clubhouse guy. He hit 10 home runs this year. They knew he was retiring. It was his last day, like, at the Cubs Stadium, because it was their last home game. And, you know, the fans, 40,000 of them, they're just so supportive. Standing ovation every time he came to the plate. Dude comes up second time to the plate and jacks one. And, like, got to do the base trot and standing O. And then in the seventh inning, Lester was still in. And you know, Ross catches Lester. That's a thing. But Madden came out and they thought he was going to take Lester. And I was like, why would you do that? He takes Ross out, which was the classiest thing you could do, because that got him another ovation. That got him a full moment to end on a high note and wave to the crowd. It was a classy friggin' night of baseball. It was really cool to watch.
I it's been a fun season. Have you gone to any games?
I went to all three Braves games, yeah.
That's fun. Mm-hmm. Very cool. I've been to two games this year. I doubt that I'll be going to another unless I have any very generous friends, because the tickets they're saying is about like $920 for the playoff tickets.
Oh, yeah.
In the first.
I can imagine. But it's just going to be packed. And as much as it is not great for the theater business, the late night theater business in Wrigleyville and Lakeview, I want it so bad. Aren't you kind of afraid what would happen
if we win?
Like, think about the first Blackhawks win of the last, like, 7 years. That was the first year I was here. And I worked in Wrigleyville.
Was
we,
it crazy?
We closed the store and got up on the roof and watched it. I mean, there were couches. Like people were, like, crowd surfing couches and things on fire. And, like, it was just absolute madness.
I did not know that. I was in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina when we won that year.
I've never seen anything like it. And to, like, to just, that's got to be times a bagillion. If the Cubs win it all.
Well, and I was reading an article about how it doesn't seem like Cubs fans are really that excited yet. Like, we're all...
No one wants to believe.
No, I believe.
No one wants to put their hope out on the chopping block right now. You know what I mean? Because you've been burned so many times. We're all like scorned lovers.
I guess. You got to be all in. I think that it's time.
I think, you know, we get past the D. Like, I'd love to see the Mets. I would love to play the Mets first. I believe that the Giants are a magic team, that even when they suck, they somehow do really well in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I would like to see the Dodgers go have to handle the Giants and somebody come out of there. I want to play the Mets first. I think once you get into the championship series, because I truly believe that you'll beat the Giants, you'll beat the Mets, you'd beat – wait, St. Louis is still hanging on? I think you beat any one of those three teams, and I think you have throughout the season. But I do think as a pessimistic sports fan myself – I would also be very wary of trusting anything, but once you get into the championship round, it just doesn't freaking matter.
No,
you are all kids in the candy store.
I think after 101 wins, it's time to start getting excited.
But that's the beauty of baseball, is the season means nothing.
I know.
And you have a young team. I said it before. You do have a couple of veterans, especially on the pitching staff, but you have a younger team who, yeah, maybe they've been in the first round, but every round is a completely different sport. I mean, the numbers, you know, they say that.
I want you to really quickly clarify. You're saying that if the Cubs make the World Series and lose, that's still good enough?
No.
Okay.
I'm saying that as a fan, I don't want to be – if I'm putting myself in a diehard Cubs fan's shoes,
yes.
I am not going to go around being crazy excited until we pass at least the divisional series. Because, you know, you're expecting – you finally reach your hand out, and you're expecting to get it slapped because that's what's happened to you every time. It's Pavlovian. Like, you can't blame anyone for doing that.
We're like the dogs that wet the carpet and get hit in the nose with a rolled-up newspaper. We keep expecting to get hit.
Yes, exactly. So you just don't pee anymore.
Don't pee anymore.
But sometimes you get so excited you have to pee.
Yeah,
so,
excitement pee is not controllable. I don't know. I mean, there's nothing I'm doing differently. I'm just very excited. I'm not nervous. I'm not.
Don't you think?
I have no reason.
Though, championship round, you start changing your schedule so you can hear the games. You know what I mean? It's no longer acceptable to just hear the score afterwards.
I have to watch. I want to watch all the games.
Yes, absolutely.
I got locked in my bedroom a couple weeks ago. It was actually the night they were.
Oh, you told me this. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the night they were clinching, I was. And we didn't clinch by winning. We clinched by
somebody else losing.
The Cards losing. Yeah. So I was in my bedroom. I don't have the direct TV. I don't have the baseball channels.
Oh.
And I was my family had left, thinking I was napping, not realizing they'd left the key in the door. I have a skeleton key.
On the outside of your door.
On the outside
that
of the
seems
door.
Poorly designed.
It was a bad idea. Griffin was being cute. He's like, "Mommy, I'm going to lock you in." So that you to make sure you get a nap, and usually we have a key on the outside and a key on the inside, but leaving the key in the skeleton, it's just, and I tried pushing it out, and I had like nail file, and I was distraught that I could not watch that game. It was making me crazy.
Man, I have I don't spend much money on anything. I don't have cable or anything like that, but MLB TV every year I can pull it up right now.
Oh, how much is that?
It's right now. It's probably only $19.99 for the rest of the postseason. It's 100 and something at the beginning
for
of the year
because
you can watch any game at all. Now you're in Chicago trying to watch a Chicago game, so you'll be blacked out during the game because they're never.
So that wouldn't have helped me in my bedroom.
Well, you can watch it right after and you can listen during.
Yeah, but I couldn't.
You can listen to it and then you can game box, which or game day box is what they call it. So you're actually watching a graphic of each pitch and where it is, and you're getting all the stats while you're listening to the game. It's kind of like the old version of a scorecard. But it's all electronic and it's doing it for you. So you do get the full experience. And baseball is one of the only sports you can truly enjoy over the radio, too.
It is.
Because it had to be for so long.
I want to watch. I like to
watch. I feel you. But next time you're locked in your bedroom, I'm giving you an option.
I'm confused. MLB.com?
MLB.TV. It is absolutely game-changing.
Well, and does that include the World Series? That goes all the way through the rest?
Everything. Absolutely everything.
Interesting.
Again, like the blackout thing is an issue. But then they do that just so you'll make sure that you actually watch, you know, TV or go to the games.
Right.
They do that in football, too. And, like, no one's been able to watch a North Carolina game in North Carolina for so long because nobody goes to those games. And if they don't sell out, they black out on the channels to, like, kind of make you go see it.
What would be the most you would ever spend on a playoff ticket?
playoff ticket.
Yeah, would you spend, you know, $900 to go see your team?
Not in the divisional.
No.
No, but like when Auburn went in 2010 to the world champion or the national championship, mm-hmm. those tickets were $1,200, and I parted ways with $1,200.
Really?
Oh yeah.
And did that feel good?
Yes.
Really?
Now had they lost, I couldn't answer that question.
That's a good point.
And the problem with baseball is you can buy game 5 of the series like for like $5,000 and hope they make it happen on game 5.
Wow.
But I think if your team goes to the World Series, you have a duty to get there. You know, some way.
I don't know. Because
Winter or Malort. Like suffering that all Chicagoans do together. That brings us together because we stop thinking about like who's got what money and who's got what job and who does what. We're all suffering the same way. And there's something beautiful about that that brings people together. The opposite, when everyone is celebrating in the same way and all hate and all like prejudice and thoughts right. go away and 40,000 people just want to hug each other and adult men are crying and like, that's worth money. That's worth a significant. That's an experience you will never forget.
I don't know. I I'm hoping that some of my friends who have tickets will invite me.
Hint, wink. I mean, I will certainly change my life schedule to make sure that I'm in front of the TV. It's like the moon landing. You'll be able to say, I know where I was when it happened. Or you'll be super, super sad in your whole, you know.
I know. What is the schedule for the playoffs and all the rest of that, too?
Because it just came out.
I know that I have a performance on, I'll be at Zany's on October 22nd, and I have a performance on the 21st.
It's October 7th, 8th, and then 13th, if necessary, are the first of the division series. Mm-hmm. Championship series is going to be 15th, 16th. And then 22, 23, these are home games. These are all the home games. And then the series would be 28th and 29th, and then back for the 30th if necessary.
All right.
So those are all your home games, and then obviously the games in between. So it starts October 7th for the Cubbies.
Oh, boy. I'm excited. I'm not even cautiously optimistic. Oh, by the way, the woman I don't know what channel television that is, but that's Alicia Machado, who was the Miss Universe that Donald Trump was saying she had put on. This is her now 20. That's her right there now 20 years later. But there's a picture in the middle. I don't know what channel that is, but yeah, she's spectacular. She's become a successful actress.
Yeah, and he's just done her nothing but favors. Like, thanks for the media attention.
Oh,
like,
yeah, now she's all... Well, Cosmopolitan, I think that there was something built up in the Clinton campaign that they were gonna sort of bank on the fact that he could be poked about how he talks about women. I think that he was actually the one that brought it up, but the Cosmopolitan was ready to go with a whole article in response to Monday night's debate. So it's kind of interesting. There was a whole ramp up to have her hit the media this week.
Man, well, yeah. they bet that card, right? Yeah. Who knew he'd be ridiculous?
He was easily lured in. Hey, Vic Vaughn, how are you doing tonight?
Hey there. I'm okay. How are you doing?
I'm very well. Are you going to do everything you can to get to playoff games? How much money are you willing to spend?
Oh, they would have to be gifted to me.
Yeah, because right now, I mean, these tickets are going for three times what the Boston Red Sox fans were paying when they went.
Is that right?
Were headed towards the World
Series.
Yeah,
but you know, Boston.
Yeah, but they were cursed. They were cursed. They weren't winning for a long time.
I have prejudice against Boston. I think Craig Collins can back me up on this.
Oh, I agree wholeheartedly. I think that's a very smart decision you're making.
Wasn't it the Bambino? The
curse of the Bambino. There was mm-hmm. other curses the Red Sox suffered, and then in 2004 they swept the Yankees after going down 3-0.
Yeah,
to then
which
make
is also
the World
like
Series.
Unheard of anyway. Which
yeah,
is,
that was the first was and only time that's ever happened.
Yeah, yeah, pretty crazy year.
And then people threw Red Sox at me.
Oh.
And I was really sad.
That is sad.
That part
did they
was
just
sad.
Walk around with pockets filled with Red Sox?
It was my girlfriend at the time's mother. She was really happy about the Red Sox winning. And yeah.
Well, I don't understand how Vic Vaughn, you have a Brewers fan? Your girlfriend's a Brewers fan?
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel your pain, Craig. She's a Brewers fan and a Packers fan.
Oh, well, this year she's having a good year. I don't know how the Packers are playing. I do know how the Bears are playing.
Exactly.
Ugh. Yeah, Saul got handed to you by the Cowboys, which is, I mean, that team's mediocre even when they're good.
And I have plenty of friends in Dallas, so I heard it there too.
Yeah, man, they get real attached. Let Romo go, buddy. Let it go. Those guys are so nostalgic because of the 90s. Like that, they'll never look towards the future. It is, and Jerry Jones is an apt, like, imagine him running for president.
Oh, no.
I can imagine that.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
It's not a stretch.
Hey, anyone
this
can do
season.
It. Yeah, no kidding. It's almost time for Tell Me Something Good. 312-981-7200. That's 312-981-7200. You can call or text us. Tell me something good after this on 720 WGN. It's pretty late. Tell me something good. Oh, it's that time of night. Nick D is up next talking about the new season of television. Brandon C. Price joins me in the Allstate Showcase studio. You haven't been here for Tell Me Something Good. Do you have anything good you want to tell us?
Yeah, I'll tell you something good. Today is the actual mark, 6 month of no smoking for Brandon C. Price.
Yay! Congratulations.
Mm-hmm. Also throw out, in case she's listening, that I've been with Margaret for just under 6 months, and that's my longest adult relationship.
Congratulations. Hello, Margaret.
So no big deal. Shouts out to Margaret for holding it down.
Do you have that total of how much you've saved? And that's
yeah, which is really sad because I'm like, where is that money? But it's about $2,400.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's very good.
It never gets easier.
Mm-hmm. No, it has to be different. It's just different now, a different kind of challenge.
What I wish is I could go back to instantly feeling how I did when I smoked a pack and a half a day, and then instantly feeling like this, so I could really see the comparison and feel like, okay,
stop.
I do feel better. But I just have to trust myself that. And the other thing is, like, if you can do that, you can do anything,
right?
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I should probably.
What else do you want to do?
I don't know. Have a savings account.
Well, that's the thing too. Is it
set my goals real high?
You should like try to set aside cash, or you know, put in what you would have spent in a day of smoking cigarettes.
I'm the kind of guy, and I'm sure a lot of people can relate, that no matter how much money I make in a month, I spend a dollar more. So nice. The cigarettes thing just allowed me to buy more Starbucks, I'm thankful for and terribly addicted to.
I was going to ask, did you replace the cigarettes with anything?
Hey, you know what? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's better for you.
But not the pumpkin spice.
Baby steps. I can't do it. Mm-mm. I can't do it. I support everyone. Live your life and spice your pumpkins. It's just not for me.
All right, then. Vic Vaughn, do you have something good to tell us?
I've been thinking, and there's so many things, but I'll keep it simple. We made a curry dish last night, and I'm looking forward to going home and eating it.
Oh,
leftovers.
No, I've had this experience where I've told Esmeralda, like, the thing that I think about eating, like, whether it's cheese and crackers, I'm like, I cannot wait to get home. I was going to send Esmeralda a picture of cheese and crackers the other night. I'm like, I think I'm addicted. But there comes a moment in the show where that's all I can think about is what I'm going to have when I get home.
I'm with you. That is good stuff.
And leftovers, like, leftover fried chicken in my fridge right now is what's on my mind. And mashed potatoes. Potatoes.
That's awesome. Dang it. That's awesome.
I know. That's something good. Esmeralda, what do you got?
Well, I went to the Cubs. I went to the Blackhawks game today for the first Blackhawks game ever.
Nice.
And how did you like it?
It was fun.
Isn't that great?
It was neat to see everything, and it's so much colder.
Oh, yeah.
Well, on TV.
It's much, but the noise, isn't the sound of the skating and the sticks, you know, slapping against each other? And
yeah, it's just things that you don't see on TV, like the rink itself when they cleaned it with the Zamboni. And then I looked at it, I'm like, it doesn't even look like ice. It's so shiny.
It's beautiful.
Isn't Zamboni like calling a tissue a Kleenex? Isn't that just a type of whatever that thing is?
Ice cleaner.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
I don't know what it's called, but yeah, it's I just found that interesting. Like Steve Zamboni came up with that.
Okay. I didn't know that.
You're right, though. Nobody says, I'm going to get a tissue. They said, do you have any Kleenex?
Making a Kleenex.
Yeah. Kleenex. Zamboni's the tissue. I like the way you went with that. Craig, you were also at the game. Is that yours, or do you?
No. Yeah, the game was really fun. I'm really grateful that I got invited to go. That was awesome. But I think the Yankees not losing their playoff hopes to the Red Sox really nice. But it should still also be Betty, because it's her first semester back in school, and she's doing awesome. So Betty's school plus Yankees not getting eliminated by Red Sox.
Solid
hanging
day,
on.
Collins.
It is a solid day.
One more day.
Hanging on. I know, because it's the last part of summer that we get to enjoy are the baseball games. Do you know, does anyone know how many games the Cubs have left? What's our, I know we didn't win.
It's the 28th and October 1st. It's got to be like four, right? Three or four? Like one more series?
It is four.
Four?
There is one series against the Reds and one final game against the Pirates.
Stomp the Reds.
There was a moment in the beginning of the season. Remember, they were like just on a tear, and we were trying to figure out what would be the number at the end of the season. Would have been someone's like they're on pace to win 115, which would have been crazy.
Yeah,
but still the possibility of 105.
Yeah,
and we're at 101 right now.
105 is that would be franchise record. Yeah,
I would imagine. We don't have these numbers in front of us.
We can only surmise.
Our sports guy.